I'm a man. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. By Chicago. You know that's old, 2002. And you know, June is celebrated as Men's Month. We are going to be discussing the masculinity crisis. What has happened to masculinity? Why America has a crisis of masculinity? What should be done? Is there a decline in the significance of men and manhood? Is masculinity in crisis? One might be inclined to conclude so based on how numerous indicators of physical, psychological, and social well-being are trending negatively for males. I am your hostess, Ms. Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais.co Designs. As I broadcast and welcome you, the worldwide listening audience, it's Tuesday, June 22nd, 2023, and my father would have been 93 years old. May he have heavenly rest in heaven birthday, along with my mother and his brothers, sister, and aunts, and sister-in-laws, and friends, and everything else. So, heavenly happy birthday to you, Dad. We wish you a 93rd birthday. This is Miss Inez. Let's talk about it. Masculinity crisis. Let's just get it off your chest and join us tonight. Let's talk about it at 845-241-9985. And you can also listen on demand or in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio. Again, that's 845-241-9985 or on demand or in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio. We're going to hear a snippet of The Decline of Manhood, according to Judge Lynn Tober of Divorce Court. Let's see what this is. You got to hear this.
I don't know when it happened. I don't know who caused it. All I know is that at some point in time, the definition of manhood shifted way to the left and down. It is no longer what it was when my father was young or alive. It is no longer what it was when my husband said, "Lynn, will you marry me?" Because how they define manhood is, have I gone out into the world and done my best to bring money into my house? Have I got stability and love? Have I built a home? Do I have a place where a woman can come and say, I feel safe, where I have children that I can raise who will have food in their bellies, clothes on their backs? If they need something, I'm the brother to bring it to you. That's what they've defined as manhood. Now it seems that that is no longer the case. It has nothing to do with your ability to provide or what you become in your profession or what you can bring home or who you can bring up and raise up and care for and defend and love. It has all to do with how nasty you can be with how many different women, how many corners you can hang on, how many babies you can bring into the world. That you don't have to be able to support them. You don't have to love them. You don't have to worry about where they go to school or how they're going to live. You don't have to deal with whatever they have to deal with in order to grow up and be somebody. You just were able to make them, and that's it. And that's how you define manhood. I don't know when that happened. I know you didn't do it personally, Mr. Ware. I understand that there is a culture out there somewhere that has taken the definition of manhood, chopped it all up, diced it in small pieces, and thrown it in the sewer somewhere. But that's where it is, and that's where you are.
He is in the sewer, as Judge Lynn Toler of the Divorce Court just described that man. And so I'm going to be talking about, or we are going to be talking about, is masculinity in crisis? And I'm getting my information from www.psychologytoday.com. U.S. Blog Insight Therapy, and this is 2006. Is masculinity in crisis? If so, what should be done? And this is and was written by Noam Spencer, PhD, a professor of psychology at Audubon College, and a practicing clinical psychologist in Columbus, Ohio. It's funny how everybody's practicing, but nobody is really anything. This gets me. Doctors be practicing, lawyers be practicing. They practice. When are they going to become lawyers and doctors? I'm just kidding. I've always wondered that. But anyway, is masculinity in crisis? If so, what should be done? Are men being left behind? One might be inclined to conclude so, based on how numerous indicators of physical, psychological, and social well-being are trending negatively for males. The problems appear early as girls outperform boys throughout the school years. College ranks, once dominated by men, are now majority female, as men's educational attainment increasingly lags behind. Men's troubles extend beyond schooling. Men commit 90% of homicides in the United States and represent 77% of homicide victims, writes Stephanie Pappas in the APA Monitor. They're the demographic group most at risk of being victimized by violent crime. They are 3.5 times more likely than women to die by suicide, and their life expectancy is 4.9 years shorter than women. That's almost 5 years shorter than women. And we talked about the rate that they commit suicide, 3.5 times more likely than women to die by suicide. Okay. The workforce, a traditional bastion of masculine domination, is seeing similar trends. Ellen Kruger of Princeton University writes, participation in the labor force has been declining for prime age men for decades, and about half of prime age men who are not in the labor force, this NLF, not in the labor force, may be a serious health condition that is a barrier to work. That is written again by Alan Kruger of Princeton University. Psychologically, many men appear to feel that the defining traits of masculinity, including toughness, dominance, self-reliance, heterosexual behaviors, restriction of emotional expression, and the avoidance of traditionally feminine attitudes and behaviors are under attack. Let me read that again. Psychologically, many men appear to feel that the defining traits of masculinity, including toughness, dominance, self-reliance, heterosexual behaviors, restriction of emotional expression, and the avoidance of traditionally feminine attitudes and behaviors are under attack. And the APA, that's American Psychological Association, I believe, in its recently published guidelines for therapists, has gone so far as to define traditional masculinity as a risk factor. The main thrust of the subsequent research is that traditional masculinity, marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, is, on the whole, harmful. Men. Men socialized in this way are less likely to engage in healthy behaviors. Several causes are cited for this so-called crisis. It's a crisis, y'all. Men are declining. Where are they going? They aren't in the system anymore. If they are, they're in the penal system, or they're changing heterosexually to gender-sizing, I guess you can say. First, economic changes have rendered males' biological advantage over women. Physical strength and size is essential for success. As Hannah Rosin wrote in The Atlantic, the post-industrial economy is indifferent to men's size and strength. The attributes that are most valuable today, social intelligence, open communication, and the ability to sit still and focus, are at a minimum not predominantly male. In fact, the opposite is true. Come on, y'all. Let's talk about this. 845-241-9985. Where are you, my peoples? I know it's Thursday night. You usually come in about another 45 minutes. But we need to talk about male masculinity, I guess masculinity in a crisis, because it is. Where are all our men going? Where have they gone? It's like they're a dying breed. The scientific evidence, notes Tyler Cohen of Bloomberg, shows that women have, on average, stronger skills in empathy, communication, emotion recognition, and verbal expression, and corporate America is valuing those qualities. As a British sociologist David Morgan notes, economical changes tend to go hand in hand with societal shifts in behavior and attitude. Many such recent changes, such as the rising divorce rates, most often initiated by women because we don't put up with that boo-boo anymore, tends to be dominant heterosexual model, and the rise of single-parent households, most often headed by women, undermine or disrupt traditional masculine roles and identities. Where are all the men? Where have all the good men gone? You know that song, where have all the flowers gone? Where have all the good men gone? Are they being taken over by women? They're women dominant? Let's talk about it. Still, talk of crisis should be considered carefully. For one, such talk often lacks nuance. A closer look at the state of men reveals a more complicated picture. Masculinity is not a one-size-fits-all phenomenon. And generalizing across this vast, complex category is risky. To wit, the masculinity-related problems of middle-aged men are bound to differ from those of high schoolers, which is true. Further, males' problems are not necessarily caused by maleness, okay? Issues of class and race are often intermingled with or supersede gender effects. Poverty hurts poor men more than their maleness. Let's see what we have in the chat room. Let's see what's going on out here. All right. Yes. One person is crying and is brokenhearted because of this masculinity crisis. Additionally, it's difficult to talk earnestly of a crisis when men still hold the most of the social power and high capital positions in the culture. In this context, a feminized workplace does not necessarily imply increased feminine power. Often as professions become female dominated, they lose prestige and pay, meaning women don't get paid as much as men. And why? We work twice as hard and get only half of the money. Why is that? We do double duty and you only get half the beauty. So, often as professions become female dominated, they lose prestige and pay. For example, journalism, book editing, or stir men to higher positions via the so-called glass escalator. You go up and can see what goes up. For example, daycare. In other words, dominance remains in male hands, even if fewer such hands are needed. Yeah, and we know. Come on, talk to me. 845-241-9985 or join me in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Let's Do It Radio. Come on, let's talk about it. Masculinity crisis, there is one. And we're talking about it this evening, Tuesday, June the 22nd, 2023. Further, a crisis rhetoric is often enacted as the absence of a real crisis for political gain. As Francis Dupuis-Bellery of Quebec University notes, talking about a crisis of masculinity can help male-dominant elements within the culture identify certain enemies of masculinity, say feminism, and single them out for attack in order to preserve power. In fact, a long history exists of powerful elites, males, and otherwise activating the trope of crisis to cement their hold of power. They just don't want women up there. You know that just as well as anybody else. Even among those who insist on seeing a masculinity crisis, opinions differ as to its implications. Some lament the apparent decline of old masculinity, pointing to men's current confusion, impotence, and despair, while extolling the clarity, stability, and dominance of yesteryear, back when everyone knew that men, what men are supposed to be, do, and feel. Hey, Rhonda, how you doing out there? My ride and die. Welcome, welcome, welcome. The appeal of this position is clear. Hearkening to an idealized past is a common psychological defense as long as our long-term memory finds it easy to linger on the good, particularly if we actually had it good. Moreover, to many, the current state of affairs feels chaotic, and to the human mind, even a deficit. A deficient order is better than chaos. However, love that word. You know I love that word, okay? You know I love that word. Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm chatting with a texter. However, love that word. As I said, however, the argument that the old order was better is suspect, particularly if those who are making it are old order beneficiaries. You know, what's old stays old a lot of times, you know. And we don't want that to happen because things won't change, and we want them to change. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bob. So, um, And if we take into account the voices of those who are silenced by the old order, in the minds of slave owners, slavery worked great for both themselves and the slaves, but not so much in the minds of the slaves. The lamenters often lay blame for the current sorry state of men. The sorry state of men. The sorry state of men at the feet of women, as manifested, for example, in the angry discourse characterizing such fringe online communities as MGTOWS, Men Going Their Own Way. Interesting. MGTOWS, Men Going Their Own Way, or incels. Involuntary celibates. Oh my gosh, I'm learning some new words. Incels. Involuntary celibates. So evidently you're just going to be involuntary celibate. You're just not going to do it anymore. So what's going to happen to our world? It's going to be dying because male masculinity is going out the door. If we don't have men and we don't have any quote-unquote sperm to grow our children or to even have children, we're going to be in a lost world. And I saw this movie earlier today. It was called The Man from 3036, and it's on Tubi. So if y'all ever have a chance to listen to it, you're going to see some of the interesting things that this man was talking about. Don't know if it's real or if it's a documentary, but anyway, go out there. The Man from 3036. The Man from 3036 talks about radiation, talks about the beneathers. Oh my gosh, go listen to it. We may have to talk about that. The Man from 3036. Yet this position leaks in several ways. First, it assumes that the gender equation in society is a zero-sum game. A zero-sum game. So, nobody's going to win. So, it is not. The data suggests that both men and women, for example, benefit from women's equality. Additionally, men's struggles and their causes are varied and often quite unrelated to women altogether. Male suicides, for example, have more to do with gun ownership than the behavior or status of women. Moreover, as Dupuis Daré writes, epidemiologists also note that suicide rates rise in the times of economic crisis. As a matter of fact, was on the phone the other day, and this gentleman was talking about committing suicide because he couldn't take it anymore. He has a family, two young boys, 1 and 4, and his wife, and he just said, I can't take it anymore, so he's thinking about committing suicide. Come on, man. I'm going to say it. Man up, you know, grab yourself by the gonads and grow a pair and, you know, come on, be a little bit stronger. Don't give up just because you don't have the means and the ways. If you have to, do a lemonade stand like the little kids do and start little. I know if you don't have no money, but hey, go start panhandling and get some money and start then with the waters, because you can get, what 18 waters for, what, $2.36, unless it's gone up 3-something. Okay, that's 18. So 3, so you still got $15 that you could still get some more waters. So, hey, there's a way around a lot of this. You know, if you're tired of asking people to help you, figure out a way to be economical and to be frugal and to be ingenious. Come on now. Think about it. I know I have a job, but it's like, hey, you know, what creativity, what gift did God give you? Are you using your gifts? Are you using your talents? Yes, no, maybe so. Call me at 845-241-9985. We're talking about male a masculinity crisis. Come on. Call me, 845-241-9985. One of my texts is saying the men are under attack. The women are undermining them without understanding that. It's so sad. They are emasculating them, I think is the word. They are. But men, come on. Don't give up so easy. You know, women, stand by your man and help him create what he needs to create so that you all can live right, proper, and, you know, he doesn't won't be talking about doing the unthinkable, committing suicide. If you love that man, and you know you do, let's see if we can't keep him here and help him, you know, come up with something so that he can, you know, provide for the household. Hello? The lamenters also point out that traditional masculinity has not emerged out of nowhere or by chance, but rather manifests our evolutionary past and hence is coded in our biology. The traits of masculinity are part of man's biological nature, goes the argument. Trying to make the aggression out of the man is like trying to take the aggression out of a tiger. That is both cruel and futile. You know you can't take aggression out of a tiger. That's almost like extracting a tooth without any Novocaine. It's just ooh, You know, it's rough. It hurts. But don't do it. No, you can't do that. Indeed, some of the traits associated with traditional masculinity are biologically wired. Temperamental differences between boys and girls, with boys showing lower fear levels and higher activity levels, for example, appear in infancy. Prior to and regardless of gender socialization factors, okay? Such differences are bound to inform developmental trajectories. Let's look at this. Yet the claim that challenges to traditional masculinity are wrong or doomed, just like the texter was saying. Oh, man. Okay, let me see where are we at. Because they subvert nature is weak. First, while emerging from biology, all behavior happens inside a cultural context. Human culture in its effects, dynamics, and processes can no more be meaningfully reduced to biology than a tree can be reduced to a seed. Ain't that about something? You can't take a big old tree that's been out there for years and just reduce it to a tree. Now you can take some of the fruit off the tree or what have you, or the nuts or what have you, and put them in the ground. But reducing a full-grown tree to just a seed, it ain't happening. Yeah, I said it ain't happening, not happening. A happening, okay? Thus, while aggression, for example, may be biologically programmed, its manifestations are meaning and, Thus, while aggression, for example, may be biologically programmed, its manifestations and meaning are shaped culturally. In this process, cultures routinely go against nature as they seek to channel, modify, and shape raw biological tendencies into effective tools of cultural survival. To wit, most husbands are physically stronger than their wives, which is true, yet the culture may forbid using physical strength as means of spouse control. Interesting. Okay. Let me read that again. To wit, most husbands are physically stronger than their wives, yet the culture may forbid using physical strength as means of spouse control. So what about their emotions? You know, are their emotions stronger than their wives? Maybe, maybe not. To which, as it says, further, natural flexion works in mysterious ways. Give me a call and see what those mysterious ways are. 845-241-9985, or join me in the chat room. Y'all out there, give me a call. 845-241-9985. Further, natural selection works in mysterious ways. After all, it led to the development of human culture, and within it, human morality, which over time led to the effort to save and protect the weak young, in effect, subverting biological evolution itself, which works by killing the weak young. That's what happens. You get rid of the weak, you get rid of the young, you just, you know, you just take them out. You just take them out. Okay, you don't, I won't say don't care anymore, but you just take them out, okay? let's see, where are we? Take them out. Okay, I lost my place. Okay. One of our proudest achievements, saving vulnerable babies, thus amounts to a successful subversion to the most fundamental biological natural process. Save the babies, okay? On the other side of the fence, from the lamenters are those who argue with the masculinity crisis represents a positive advancement. In the strong version of this view, traditional masculinity is the problem, and we are now in the process of getting rid of it. That's a saying. In the strong version of this view, traditional masculinity is a problem. And we are now in the process of getting rid of it. Here, too, the position carries some water. Clearly, several manifestations of masculinity can be problematic for both men and women. The manly refusal to see a doctor may result in the premature death of men. We don't want that to happen, do we? No, we don't. The male preference for hiring gender peers may unfairly halt the advancement of undeserving women, etc. Yet this view has obvious limitations. First is the failure to consider context. The APA, American Psychological Association, recent guidelines are a case in point. They frame traditional masculinity as a health risk. Let me read that again. They frame traditional masculinity as a health risk. That's really scary because we want our men to stay around, but premature death, I'm trying to get, somebody wants to get in the radio show, okay? Yet traditional masculinity does not, indeed cannot exist independently of specific historical and cultural context. Clearly, in a historical context, masculinity has been quite unsuccessful. Otherwise, how would it come to dominate and create along the way the very science now used to justify its dismantling? Let me read that again. Otherwise, clearly in a historical context, masculinity has been quite successful. Otherwise, how would it come to dominate and create along the way the very science now used to justify its dismantling? Even today, masculine qualities are clearly adaptive in certain contexts. You need your soldiers to be aggressive, your athletes competitive, and your astronauts stoic. Cultures can thrive without true risk factors like poverty or disease. Yet, no culture has ever thrived without a strong contingent of its citizens manifesting masculine traits, to the extent that masculine traits are linked to ill health. Let's see. To the extent that masculine traits are linked to ill health, the problem does not reside with the traits, but with their contextual fit. Interesting. Okay. Two aspects of an upgraded system that are relevant here are range and flexibility. Okay. Toolkits are upgraded when you add tools, range, when you extend the range, and improve your skill in using them, your flexibility. So when you can, you know, become more flexible with what you're doing, you improve your skill. Similarly, the true project of psychology and society with regard to men may involve upgrading the range and flexibility of their masculinity traits. This means incorporating more skills into the definition of masculinity. In Sweden, the paternal leave is now a norm of masculinity. Yay! Men get to take care of their babies. They get to stay home, just like women do. They get to stay home and take care of the children and applying existing skills in new ways, thus adapting to and enriching rather than dying to or fouling and changing socio-cultural, historical, and economic landscape. Let me read that again. This means incorporating more skills into the definition of masculinity. In Sweden, paternal leave is now a norm of masculinity, and applying existing skills in new ways, thus adapting to and enriching rather than succumbing to or fouling the changing socio-cultural, historical, and economic landscape. Okay. Now we are going to talk about the crisis of men and boys. And this was written by and is the opinion of David Brooks, The Crisis of Men and Boys, September 29th, 2022. So that's not that long ago. So you know this is on the rise. And this is an opinion of David Brooks, okay? If you've been paying attention to social trends, you probably have some inkling that boys and men are struggling in the U.S. and across the globe. They are struggling in the classroom. American girls are 14% percentage points more likely to be school ready than boys at age 5, controlling for parental characteristics. By high school, two-thirds of the students in the top 10% of class ranked by GPA are girls, while roughly two-thirds of the students at the lowest the sire are boys. In 2020, at the top six, at the 16 top American law schools, not a single one of the flagship law reviews had a man as an editor-in-chief. So women are editing and just talking about everything. Men are struggling in the workplace. One in three American men with only a high school diploma, that's 10 million men, is now out of the labor force. Let me read this again. Come on. Come on, y'all. Call me. 845-241-9985. You got to share this because masculinity crisis, it is on the rise. We are losing our men. We are losing our men. Let me say it again. We are losing our men. Let me read that again. Men are struggling in the workplace. One in three American men with only a high school diploma, that's 10 million men, is now out of the labor force. The biggest drop in employment is among young men aged 25 to 34. Men who entered the workforce in 1983 will earn 10% less in real terms in their lifetimes than those who started in a generation earlier. Over the same period, women's lifetime earnings have increased 33%. Pretty much all of the income gains that middle-class American families have enjoyed since 1970 are because of, listen to this, increases in women's earnings. It may not be much, but increases in women's earnings. Men are struggling physically. And if men call me, I'm going to read this again. Yes, I'm going to read this again. Men are struggling physically. Men account for close to 3 out of every 4 deaths of despair, suicide, and drug overdoses. For every 100 middle-aged women who died of COVID up to mid-September 2021, there were 184 middle-aged men who died. Richard B. Reeves' new book, Of Boys and Men, is a landmark, one of the most important books of the year, not only because it is a comprehensive look at the male crisis, but also because it searches for the roots of that crisis and offers solutions. Mr. Bryan said, I learned a lot I didn't know. First, boys are much more hindered by challenging environments than girls. Girls in poor neighborhoods and unstable families may be able to climb their way out. Boys are less likely to do so. In Canada, boys born into the poorest households are twice as likely to remain poor as their female counterparts. In American schools, boys' academic performance is more influenced by family background than girls' performance. Boys raised by single parents have lower rates of college enrollment than girls raised by single parents. Come on now. Second, policies and programs designed to promote social mobility often work for women, but not men. Wow. Reeves, a scholar at the Brookings Institution, visited Kalamazoo, Michigan, where, thanks to a donor, high school graduates get to go to many colleges in the state for free. I wish I was sent because I need to finish my bachelor's. Somebody out there want to help me finish my bachelor's? I'm just kidding. Okay. Let's see, where are we? The program increased the number of women Wow. Getting college degrees by 45%. The men's graduation rates remain flat. Reeves lists a whole series of programs from early childhood education to college support efforts that produce impressive gains for women, but did not boost men. Reeves has a series of policy proposals to address the crisis, the most controversial of which is redshirting boys. Have them begin their schooling a year later than girls. Interesting. Because on average, the prefrontal cortex and the cerebellum, which are involved in self-regulation, mature much earlier in girls than boys. Interesting, interesting. Oh, come on, talk to me. There are many reasons men are struggling. For example, the decline in manufacturing jobs that put a high value on physical strength and the rise of service sector jobs. But he was struck by the theme of demoralization that wastes through the book. Reeves talked to men at Kalamazoo about why women are leaping ahead. The man said that women are just more motivated, work harder, plan ahead better. Yet this is not a matter of individual responsibility. There is something in modern culture that is producing an aspiration gap. Many men just seem less ambitious. College women are roughly twice as likely to enroll in college. College women are roughly twice as likely to enroll in study abroad programs as college men. In 2020, amid COVID, the decline in college enrollment for male students was seven times that of female students. It's like people aren't able to call in. That's really interesting. Let's see, where are we? As Reeves puts it, it is not that men have fewer opportunities. It is that they are not taking them. So hold on just a minute. Okay, hold on. So that if you all want me to call you to call in, that's fine. I can do that. Okay. More men are leading haphazard and lonely lives. Roughly 15% of men say they have no close friends, up from 3% in 1990. One in five fathers doesn't live with his children. In 2014, more young men are living with their parents than with a wife or partner. Apparently, even many who are married are not ideal mates. Wives are twice as likely to initiate divorces as husbands. I know that's what I did. I come away with the impression that many men are like what Dean Acheson said about Britain after World War II. They may have lost an empire, but not yet found a role. Many men have an obsolete ideal. Being a man means being the main breadwinner for your family. Then they can't meet that ideal. Demoralization follows. Ambition doesn't just happen. It has to be fired. The culture is still searching for a modern masculine ideal. It is not instilling, let me see here. Interesting. Okay. It is not instilling in many boys the nurturing and emotional skills that are so desperately important today. A system that labels more than a fifth of all boys as developmentally disabled is not instilling in them a sense of confidence and competence. Masculinity has gone haywire, reverting to psycho-macho cartoons like Donald Trump and Josh Hawley doesn't help. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Text me if you are not able to get in. If you're out there and you're trying to get in and can hear me, text me. Text me. You know my number. Or if you can, call in 845-241-9985. 845-241-9985. This is interesting. All my men who usually call in aren't able to get in. So let me see. I'm going to play a song right quick and see if I can't get in touch with somebody. One moment, please, as I play a song. All right.
Well, you can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole, I played my cards and I didn't fold, well it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. Time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier, standing on my feet. No surrender and I won't retreat. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail, I'll turn.
them back. It's interesting that it seems like somebody got kicked out on the backside, so I don't know if y'all trying to get in. If you are, try and text me and let me know if you're having troubles or what have you, or send a email to letsdoaradio@gmail.com and let me know if you're trying to get in. I'll look at that because that's rather interesting. None of my regulars are usually in by now, so I've got one of my ride and dies, and she says she's been in since 9:30, but this is rather interesting. So, but I usually just don't read an article. You know, bring my people in and so on and so forth. So, I'm going to continue until I can see if anybody else comes in, because I got lots to talk about as far as masculinity is concerned and the crisis. So, let me see. Hemingway and the Decline of Manhood. Interesting, interesting. Got some good stuff out here, y'all. It is very interesting. I don't want no cookies. Okay. This is Hemingway and the Decline of Manhood. This is written by Richard A. Posner. So if you're all out there, let me see. Go ahead and text me or send me a email. If you're trying to get in, and if I need to call you, I will call you and add you to the show. But this is really, 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 really interesting. My heart hurts now, doesn't it? I'm good. I'm good in the hood, but I'm going to see if I can't get some more peoples out there. 845-241-9985. 845-241-9985. So, Hemingway's seemingly ambivalence about masculinity. The impression his fiction gives that its ostentatious machoism is hiding something is a preoccupation of literary critics of his work. They generally offer a psychological explanation of one kind or another for that seeming ambivalence. For example, that he had a passive and masochistic sexual nature compounded of such elements as misogyny and extreme homophobia. But probably all would agree that Hemingway's novels, that's Ernest Hemingway we're talking about, and stories offer a multi-angled inquiry into masculinity. And this gentleman who is Richard Posner says, I'm going to offer, but as a compliment rather than as a substitute, a cultural explanation, the decline of manhood in the 20th century. I will point out that the literary consequences is that decline are general rather than being somewhat special to Hemingway. The graphs which I began generated in the Google's Ingram viewer traced the frequency of appearance in English books published by between 1800 and 2000 of words including the belated manhood. You know what manhood is. Let me see. He calls manhood. Mm-hmm. Yes. This is a lot. I don't know if I want to read this. It's too much. Okay. He identifies three stages in the decline of manhood in 1914 through 1918 through 1939, and 1960 through 2012, although they do not coincide precisely with the trends shown in his graph. War is a quintessential masculine activity, and the most remote from the domestic sphere traditionally associated with women. And its glamour took a beating in the World War II. Yes, this was not only because of the enormous casualty toll, but also because modern military technology is deglamorizing colorful uniforms, cavalry charges, forward play, duels between frigates, and charismatic leadership all became passe and gave way to the machine gun artillery barrages, trench warfare, and aerial bombardment, khaki uniforms, enormous expenditures on munitions, and not least, large-scale employment of women in munitions manufacturing. The deglamorizing trend had been foreshadowed by the Crimean War, the American Civil War, and the Boer War, but World War I had a far greater impact on perceptions of the changing nature of war. So what he's saying is that war has changed everything. Men go out, they die, they don't come back. Women have to, have to find another man, and then some men, it's just a continuous cycle. Men come back from war, but they're not a true man anymore. They are just a shell of themselves, so they don't want to be bothered. Then, as I had stated earlier, what happens? They commit suicide, okay? Why do they commit suicide? Because they don't think they can deal with it. So, you know, it's a whole big old circle. It's a never-ending circle. It's a circle that, break the generational curse. We've got to. Okay? And why is America have a crisis of masculinity? This is from The Ringer, which is a paper. Why America has a crisis of masculinity? Boys and Men, as I talked about, author Richard Reeves talks male voting habits, educational success, and what the future of masculinity looks like. Oh, goodness. Okay. So, American men have a problem. They account for less than 40% of the new graduates, but roughly 70% of drug overdose deaths and more than 80% of gun violence deaths. As the left has struggled to offer a positive vision of masculinity, male voters have abandoned the Democratic Party at historical high rates. I wonder why. Brookings Institution scholar Richard Reeves, who wrote the book and is the author of Boys and Men, joins the show to ask and answer a number of controversial questions. Why do women outachieve men throughout education? Why are men dropping out of the labor force? Why can't Democrats win the male vote? And what would a progressive and positive vision of masculinity look like? And if you have any questions, observation, or ideas for future episodes, you can email theplainenglish@spotify.com. Okay. Richard Reeves examines three areas in which boys and men seem to be struggling in America. Derek Thompson, the subtitle of the new book, this is from Derek Thompson, of Boys and Men, Why the Modern Male is Struggling, Why It Matters, and What to Do About It. And Derek Thompson, likes that subtitle. I think we're going to proceed precisely in that order. Why Modern Men is Struggling, Why It Matters, and What to Do About It. Why this is happening, why it's important, and what we can do. But Derek has to imagine that for some people, maybe even for most people who tune into this episode, the very existence of this episode and very existence of the book of Men and Boys raises a really important question that is not answered in the subtitle. Why the cuss word are you talking about men struggling? Because they are. For every dollar earned by men, women in America earn 83 cents. Men control 73% of the seats in Congress. So what is the evidence that you are basing your book on when you say that boys and men in America are struggling at all? This is Richard Reeves' answer. Well, the big answer to that question is that two things can be true at once. That there can be remaining barriers, and you've just listed quite a few, and we can dig into some of the details of it. Whilst there are also problems facing many boys and men, and one you didn't mention, but one that's quite close to home for him, for Richard Reeves. I have a wife trying to raise seed capital for a business. Only 3% of venture capital money goes to the female founders. That is nothing. So we're feeling that one. That's every dinner table. I get a version of that question. Derek Thompson, with that 97% figure thrown at me. So 90% is men and 3% is women. That sounds kind of funky and messed up. But yes, the broader point Richard Reeves thinks is that in a sense, because we have made a lot of progress toward gender equality, not complete, but significant progress on a whole range of fronts that we might get into. That what that means is that you can talk about gender inequality in more of a two-way street. There are some gender inequalities that remain to be tackled for girls and women for sure, but, I love that word, but there are some where it really is boys and men who are at a disadvantage. Really, and especially the most vulnerable boys and men. And so, really, Richard Reeves thinks it's a kind of a gift of the progress of the women's movement to be even having this conversation at all. I don't think it's synonymous. The cause of gender equality was synonymous with girls and women until incredibly recently, like a blink of an eye in human history. But it is still true. And he fears that unless we turn our attention now to the problem of boys and men, that many of them will fester and they will get harder to deal with if we leave them to fester too long. And Thompson's response. And so give me some specific examples where our boys are struggling. Where is the data that you are pointing to? Well, Reed says, there are three main areas that he looks at. There are education, and I know that's something that you've written about in your book, Derek, and you've written a couple of very good pieces, one in particular on the growing gap in college and college campuses, where we're seeing like 60% of the students on campus colleges and rising being female. And so we're seeing very big gender gaps in education. In fact, the gender gap is getting a 4 college degree in the U.S. now is wider than it was in 1972 when Title IX was passed to help girls and women. In 1972, it was about 13% percentage points more likely that a guy would be getting a degree than a woman. Now, it's flipped to 15 percentage points more likely that a woman is going to get it. So, bluntly put, gender inequality in higher education in the U.S. is wider today than Title IX was passed, but the other way around. And then we're seeing it among the top scoring GPA high school students. Two-thirds of them are, you know, girls. Big differences in high school graduation rates and so on. Then on the work front, it's important, I think, here this is going to be true generally, but to add kind of nuances to who we're talking about. Most men in the U.S. today earn less, less than most men did in 1979. So where's all the money going? Who's making all this money? Women kind of are, but not really. Adjusting for, Thompson says, adjusting for inflation. Reeves says, yes, all adjusting for inflation. But, that word, there we go, but I was only very careful in my language because it's you, Derek. So I have been incredibly careful when I say most men now earning less than most men were then. It's not the same men, but the men, the male wage distribution adjusted for inflation is a little bit down on where it was. So if American men were a nation and we're measuring them by their earnings, that nation's poorer today than it was four decades ago. That's 40 years ago. That's when I was 25. That's a remarkable economic fact, and one that I don't think really has sunk into our policy debates. And so there has been this decline in men wages and, of course, a drop in male labor force participation, like I said earlier today, especially for those with less education. We may have to go through this again with y'all men because I need my men's on my line with me. 845-241-9985. 845-241-9985. It's, what is it? And also, there has been a decline in male wages and, of course, a drop in male labor force participation, especially for those with less education. So if you only have a GED, it's hard for you to get into the labor force, but at least you can get to the labor force. But your money, this may not be right. But hey, if you work for yourself, you can make it as much money as you want. And then in the family, what we're seeing is a really big increase in the number of fathers who are not in a close relationship with their children. We just talked about Father's Day. Hey, there are a lot of men who are not in a close relationship with their children for all kinds of complicated reasons around family instability and on, so on, too. But at heart, I think because of the incredibly positive challenge that's been made to the role of men as a breadwinner, protector, provider by the successes of women's movement. But the result of that has been to leave particularly the least powerful men somewhat adrift and disconnect very much from their own children. And that's bad for them. It's bad for moms, and it's bad for kids. So it's bad all the way around for everybody. I said everybody. Let me say again, everybody. Yes, I said everybody. Interesting. Where, I don't know if Blog Talk Radio just doesn't love me, but I, you know, text people. I don't know if they can get through. If they're not able to sign in, I want to sign out, but I don't want to lose nobody, so I'm not doing anything. So if you're out there and can hear the sound of my voice, you can text me at the number that I text you the information from, or if you can, call in at 845-241-9985. This is really important, fellas. So I don't know if you can get in, which is really, really weird. And I don't know if you can go even into the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/lectureradio. So this is interesting, very, very interesting. Very, 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 very interesting. And I'm going to check on somebody. This is a man's world. I'm going to play that one, see if I can. This is A Man's World by James Brown. Thank you.
This is a man's world. But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl. You see, man made the car to take us over the road. Man made the train to carry the heavy load. Man made the electrolyte to take us out of the dark. Like Noah made the ark. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, not a woman on earth. Man thinks about a little bit of baby girl and a baby boy. Man make them happy, 'cause man make them joy. And after man make everything, everything he can, you know that man makes money to buy from other men. Without a woman or a girl. He's lost in the wilderness. He's lost in bitterness. He's lost.
Hey. This is a man's world, my James Brown. Hey, hey, Dustin, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Well, I guess that answered the questions.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I didn't know if anybody could get through. It's just really weird that, you know, nobody called in.
Nobody called in.
I've been going. Nobody loves me. We're talking about masculinity crisis tonight.
I bet there is.
Yeah, yep, and I mean, I've read a few articles, and I had my ride and die, so that's really weird. There's nobody out there calling in, so, you know, I was checking.
Just want to make sure.
Yes, because I even had a girlfriend say that she had called in, not called in, but I guess went in on the www.blogtalk, and she got kicked out, so that was really weird, at like about 49 minutes into the show.
So,
but no, I mean, if you want to, you can listen if you want to, or you can, you know, do what you're doing.
All right. I know there's a lot I haven't been home very long. I just got home from work and make myself something to eat. And then,
okay.
I may call back in and listen just for a little bit.
Okay. I appreciate that.
I'm glad it's
so
working. Not a problem.
Yes, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Well, at least the line's working, so I guess my men don't love me like they say they do. But that's all right. Okay. So, as I was talking about on this article, why America has a crisis of masculinity. And this is an article written by Richard Reeves on his book of Men and Boys and Men. And he's having a conversation with another gentleman who's written a book, Derek Thompson. And the article is actually written by Derek Thompson, and he's having the conversation, excuse me, with Richard Reeves. And so we're just talking about struggling. And, of course, people always struggle. People always struggle, but we're talking about masculinity and the struggle of masculinity and men struggling and why we see that they are struggling. Sad. So, as I was talking earlier, the result of the woman's movement has been to lead particularly that least powerful men somewhat adrift and disconnected very much from their own children, and that's bad for them. It's bad for the moms, and it's bad for the children. And then the response from Mr. Derek Thompson is, overall, I was reading your book and trying to find some way to synthesize why I saw all these struggles of some boys and men in America. It seemed to me that there's this idea, somewhat controversial, of a success sequence. And if you go across a success sequence, men seem less likely to succeed in high school, then less likely to take advanced classes in high school, then less likely to graduate from high school, and more likely to drop out of high school. Mm-mm-mm. It's a continuum. So, but then less likely to go to college. If they go to college, more likely to drop out, less likely to graduate from school. And then over the last 50 years, as you were pointing out in the labor force, this is particularly cashing out in the fact that they're more likely to drop out of the job search entirely. So they're going to be bumming. They're just going to be panhandling. So they're not even going to try to work. The activity rate or the participation rate of prime age men has gone down consistently with every single decade. Mm-mm-mm. So that's sort of how I, Mr. Thompson, conceive of the problems that we're talking about. Is this happening in the U.S. only, or are you touching the global themes here? And this is a response from Richard Reeves. Far and large, I think this is an international trend, and that's so sad. That is so sad. Mm. That's one of the reasons I think we have to pay close attention to it, because if it was just a peculiarity of the U.S., you might say, oh, what's weird about our education system? Can we go and learn? Maybe let's go and see what they're doing in France or Finland or South Africa or Australia. But the basic trends are pretty similar everywhere, and the U.S. does stand out a little. The U.S. stands out a little. The U.S. stands out a little bit for the extent to which men have lost ground economically. It's not like men have done amazingly well in those other countries, but they've at least made some ground. We haven't seen this sort of backsliding quite the same way elsewhere, but the pattern, basic pattern you just described, or this pipeline basically of just like, it's like the domino all the way around, right from the beginning, actually from pre-K or even like 2 years old all the way through the 20s. Now that's sad, from 2 years old. Is it a trend because the younger generation are not seeing what their dads are doing, or the dads are just being lazy? That may be something you may need to check out. And you say that's why young men are more likely to be living at home with their parents in their late 20s than women are, etc. And so I do think there's this kind of sense of casual change running all the way through. But there's also deep cultural questions as to why that should be the case. I think the question as to why it's happening is a different one, but the fact that it's happening is pretty much the same way in pretty much every advanced economy. Again, a big caveat. This is only a conversation you can be having really in a pretty advanced economy. In most of the rest of the world, the statements we made earlier about gender equality really being about girls and women is still true. If I'm in Afghanistan, I'm not making this argument, but in advanced economies, the conversation has changed. And this is just an excerpt of what was edited for clarity from Derek Thompson, who was a host and the guest, Richard Reeves. I guess we need to read the book of Men and Boys, because that seems like it's telling a whole lot, a whole story of a lot of things that we're missing. Men, why are we missing all this stuff? What's going on? Can anybody tell us? Can anybody find out? Excuse me. And the increasing significance of the decline of men. And that, again, is in the New York Times. Okay? Wow. The increasing significance of the decline of men. And this is by Thomas B. Edsel. Wow. At one end of the scale, men continue to dominate. In 2016, 95.8% of the Fortune 500 CEOs were male, and so were 348 of the Forbes 400. Of the 260 people the Forbes listed described as self-made, 250 were men. Well, and the ability to generate more wealth must still be considered a reliable proxy for power. But at the other end of the scale, men of all races and ethnicities are dropping out of the workforce, abusing opioids, and falling behind women in both college attendance and graduation rates. Since 2000, wage equality has grown more among men than among women, as the accompanying chart of the Economic Policy Institute shows. Okay? And this chart shows the ratio wages of high-wage workers, which is a 95th percentile, to wages that typical workers in the 50th percentile, and of course it's higher for men by 0.2%. A study at the Dallas Federal Reserve published in 2014, Middle Skill Jobs Lost in the U.S. Labor Market Polarization, found that while women were hit much harder than men by the disappearance of middle skill jobs, the majority of the women managed to upgrade their skills and find better paying jobs. By comparison, more than half of men who lost middle skill jobs had to settle for lower paying occupations. From 1979 to 2007, 7% of men and 60% of women with middle skill jobs lost their positions. Yeah, I know. According to the Dallas Federal study, 4% of these men moved to low-skill work and 3% moved to high-skill jobs. Almost all the women, 15%, moved into high-skill jobs and only 1% moving to low-skill jobs. I mean, we have to go out there for the money because we're trying to survive. Well, that's another day, another dollar, another something to talk about with Ms. Inez. Women in the workforce. Men whose childhood years were marked by family disruption seem to fare the worst. In 2016, paper by David Autor, A-U-T-O-R, an economist at MIT, and four co-authors measured academic and economic outcomes of brothers and sisters in Florida in the decade between 1992 and 2002. For boys and girls raised in two-parent households, there were only a modest differences between the sexes in the terms of school successes at school. The boys tended to earn more than their sisters in early adulthood. Among children raised in single-parent households, however, boys outperformed Let me read that again. Among children raised in single-parent households, however, boys perform significantly less well than their sisters in school, and their employment rate as young adults was lower relative to their sisters. Autour and his collaborators wrote, boys born into disadvantaged families with disadvantage measured here by mother's marital status and education have higher rates of disciplinary problems, lower achievement scores, and fewer high school completions. Wow. When the children in the study reached early adulthood, the same pattern emerged in employment. Employment rates of young women are nearly invariant to family marital status, while the employment rates of young adult men and from non-married families are 8 to 10% points below those from married families at all income levels. Autour and his co-authors conclude that family structure is more consequential for the skill development and labor market outcomes of boys than girls. The recent increase in dysfunctional behavior among non-college whites correlates with a substantial increase in the rate of white non-marital births, up from 22.2% in 1993 to 35.7% in 2014. That's a lot. In 1965, the white non-marital birth rate was 3.4%. At the same time, the divorce rate for college rates has declined from 34.8% among those born between 1950 and 1955 to 29.9% among those born between 1967 and 1964. In contrast, the divorce rate for those without college degrees increased over the same period from 44.3% to 50.6%, while marriages are breaking up more in the working class, as an extensive study of divorce found that infidelity, domestic violence, and substance abuse were the most often endorsed final straw reasons for the dissolution of marriages. These are all behaviors that men from disruptive families who often have difficulty holding relationships together frequently demonstrate. Okay. For many men without college degrees, the scaffolding that underpinned their father's lives has been torn down. David Leahy, L-E-G-E, an emeritus professor of political science at Notre Dame, wrote me by email. And this is what was said, okay? The institutions they knew to process authoritatively the economic and social changes they faced in earlier times are gone or undermined. The union, the Catholic Church, the industrial bar with co-workers and compliant wives, and what has replaced it, if anything, is an unvetted information technology that yields little truth or comfort and nurtures anomie and anger. David Gary, a professor of psychology at the University of Missouri, describes a vicious cycle that entraps men who either drop out of the workforce or take low-skilled jobs with few prospects of improvement. The long-term political implications of large numbers of unengaged and underemployed men are potentially very serious. Marriage typically reduces men's aggressiveness and rule breaking and focuses them on family and engagement with the community. However, if large numbers of them are not attractive as potential husbands due to poor long-term economic prospects, then this civilizing influence is lost to them. I don't know what the tipping point would be, but the potential for large-scale discontentment and destabilization increases as the proportion of these men increases. Okay, moving up. In the decades before the Great Recession, women migrated to high-skilled jobs more so than men. The percentage changed in employment share in 1979 and 2007. David Buss, Pastor Don, CEO, you want to put yourself on mute and I will bring you in. Thank you, fine sir. Go ahead and put yourself on mute.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. There you go. Dr. Buss, David Buss, a professor of psychology at the University of Texas, Austin, elaborated on Gary's point in an email, stressing the lower proportion of men than women getting a college degree. Women have strong mate preferences, such that they do not want to mate or marry men who are less educated, less intelligent, and less successful than they are. And this, Buss said, creates a surplus of men at the low end who are not going to get married. Millions of these less well-educated men are not going to get the benefits of marriage. Married men live longer, are less likely to become alcoholics, take drugs, and commit suicide, etc. In a phone interview a number of years ago, Richard Freeman, a Harvard economist, was prescient. Men are really going to have to change their act or have big problems. I think of big guys, these are the cave days, guys who were good at lifting stuff and hunting and the things we got genetically selected out for. During Industrial Revolution, that wasn't so bad, but it's not going to be anymore. As to confirm his earlier views, Freeman wrote me that what he predicted has occurred and continues and perhaps is linked to the penchant for some male workers to be more favorable to right-wing populism than might have been the case. David Deming, a professor of public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School, suggests that things are not as simple for men as changing their act. All right. In 2015 paper, The Growing Importance of Social Skills in the Labor Market, Deming writes, high-paying, difficult-to-automate jobs increasingly require social skills. Nearly all job growth since 1980 has been in occupations that are relatively social skill-intensive. Jobs that require high level of analytical and mathematical reasoning but low levels of social interaction have fared especially poorly. Okay, Pastor Don, I know you just got in, but what we've been talking about is the masculinity crisis, and what I've been talking about and what I've been reading about really is about men achieving lower in school, not wanting to marry, not wanting to complete school, not basically wanting to do anything. So where I am at now is where this gentleman, Mr. David Deming, has written basically about high-paying jobs. So can you hear me okay? Pastor Don? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can. I can hear you very well. Welcome. I don't know if you tried earlier to get in, but it seems you did. I don't know. Something is going on, but so do you think today that men, have you tried to call in earlier?
I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
I said, did you try to call in earlier?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I'm calling from my computer now. My phone is dead on charge. I've been running around all day. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just now getting into the show. Just when I called in.
Okay.
I was moving.
That's fine. Okay, you're moving, grooving, and doing what you do. And you do it so well.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
So,
I am ready.
So basically, I mean, I've read and talked about a whole bunch of things, and so you may have to go back and listen. We may have to have everybody go back and listen, and we'll discuss what I have read and everything. But talking about manhood declining, and men don't want to be men anymore, basically, is what's going on. And so do you agree with that?
I do, because the male has been taken out of the household, and without the male, and these single women are being left to raise these kids, it's hard for the child to grow up with the right sense of the world. You know, they see it from one perspective, but it's two parents.
Right.
It takes the X and the Y chromosome to make a child. So I think the kids are suffering because of the masculinity crisis, and not to mention the young men that's coming up under us. They having a hard time because we as leaders, as elders, I'm only 45, but I tell you, I talk to so many people who don't understand. They just don't get it. And no matter what, you have to put it out there and talk to people to get a healthy conversation going. It does do a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that healthy conversation going, change happens. And that's the only way I think
we're
going to the show makes it.
Right.
I mean, that's my real. I mean, at the end of everything, if we don't start imparting, when we get negative news, we get on our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram, we tell everybody. But when you get up all the way across the street, don't nobody talk about that, you know. And I think we as a people, we're losing because we're not having these healthy discussions. It's therapeutic.
Right. That's so true. That is so true. And it's scary because young men, they don't even respect the older generation anymore. They could care less. So in 20 years, the young people who are 20 now and going to be 40, 45, what's the world going to be like? What's going to happen? Who's going to be in charge? They won't know what to do because they're not prepared. They're not preparing for the future. They're preparing for right now. There's so much that not being done. But we can only do so much for a child who won't listen. If you don't listen, we can't help you to grow up to be the person who you want to be, so that the next couple of generations will be stable underneath us. Because if they're not stable underneath us, it's going to go in a handbasket. And I watched this movie today. It's called The Man from 3036, and it's on Tubi, T-U-B-I. And so if anybody out there listening can watch that, it's
the
wild.
The
Man from 3036 on Tubi, T-U-B-I. And it's like, wow. He talks about,
I'm thinking
you just got to watch it, and then, you know, may have to talk about it.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Okay.
Amen. I'll be ready.
And then,
definitely.
Tomorrow is Friday. You don't have a show. But we could talk about it.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, because he talks about, you know, how the radiation is going to take everything away. Nobody's going to have any hair. He's going to talk about what they call the beneathers, and this is in like 2080, you know, that the people who believe in church now, you know, they're going to be underneath the ground, and the people are going to be in pods and stuff like that. And what had happened was this man had come in, and he was caught for stealing, okay? And so they did, they did everything on him, but there's no record of him anywhere, none. No birth records. Nothing. No DNA.
Oh, wow.
Nothing.
So he's been erased?
This man.
No.
Oh, he's from 3036. He's from 3036.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay,
okay.
It hasn't happened
I don't
yet.
Know if it's... No, this has happened, and this man interviewed him, and so he's talking about what's going to be coming. And he said, you know, why are the pictures that I'm seeing of you, you don't have any hair? It's because I didn't have any hair when I got here. But he's grown hair since. And so, I mean, you got, it's interesting. And he says all the things that are going on now aren't going to be here because of the radiation. And our cell phones are the biggest... biggest contributor and conductor of radiation. And he was saying that the like our cats and our dogs and things like that, those are going to be the animals that are going to be what do you call it I can't even think of the word now, not obsolete, but they're the ones that are going to be in the cages. Like they won't have any elephants, no tigers, none of the animals that we have today. All of those are going to be gone. They're going to be obsolete. They're going to be history. So the dog and the cat is the only animal, the type of animal that is going to be prevalent. It's, I mean, I don't know how much of it I believe, but it's like, And the man asked him, well, how did you get here? But he never said how he got here. Never said how he got here. And he said everybody's going to be chipped. And the man felt this tip in his hand, and now I'm going to let you watch it, and then you and I, we could just discuss it even on this telephone, just whatever, and we could talk about it. But this is really interesting. So anybody out there listening, it's very interesting. So maybe we'll have to talk about that movie, The Man from 3036.
30, 36. I'm watching tonight.
Yep. I mean, it's just,
I got the link up right now.
But the thing is, he was caught for stealing, and he says, they didn't have to pay for food and for clothes. You know, you could just go to the market and just get it. Here, we have to pay for food, we have to pay for clothes, we have to pay for all this kind of stuff. Whereas in the future, that's not going to be. We're going to be living in pods. We're not going to be living on the earth because there's basically not going to be too much left.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was it. So when you watch, it's only like 37 minutes. It's only 37 minutes. So, if you watch it after the show tonight, you can always give me a holler and we can talk about what you think. And so it's interesting. Really, really interesting.
I'm texting people right now, telling them to come call me into the show.
Yeah, well, thank
more
you.
More than
merrier.
We have room for everybody.
Everybody. Yep. But right now we're talking about a masculinity crisis in this what we're talking about in this article. That's Deming. His name is David Deming. He's saying that, in 2015, the growing importance of social skills in the labor market, he writes, high-paying, difficult-to-automate jobs, increasing required social skills. Nearly all job growth since 1980 has been in occupations that are relatively social skill intensive. Jobs that require high levels of analytical and mathematical reasoning, but low levels of social interaction have fared especially poorly. So you may want to mute yourself and then listen, and then call back. I mean, there you go. And that way you can hear. What this means, according to Deming, is that the economy-wide shift towards social skill-intensive occupations has occurred disproportionately among women rather than men. This is consistent with the large literature showing sex differences in social perceptiveness and the ability to work with others. Studies of gender differences, according to Deming, shows that females consistently score higher on tests of emotional and social intelligence. Sex differences in sociability and social perceptiveness have been shown to have biological origins, with differences appearing in infancy and the higher levels of fetal testosterone associated with lower scores on tests of social intelligence, starting at the age of 2 for young boys. In an email, Deming suggested two reasons that men may be reluctant to take jobs in the growing service sector. The first, he said, is, if service sector and other pink-collar jobs were higher paying and more secure, perhaps unionized, they would attract more men. The second reason is that many service sector jobs involve serving people of higher social status. I think women are more willing to do this, you know, being servants and so on and so forth, for cultural or genetic reasons. Who knows? From another perspective altogether, Alan Shore, a professor of psychiatry and biobehavioral sciences at the UCLA School of Medicine, explored the slower development among boys in the right brain attachment function, which is scary. Basically, it's a, I'm trying to say this word, maturational delay. Basically, they mature slower in their brain function. Shore writes in an essay that was published earlier this year in the Infant Mental Health Journal. So it's starting with the younger kids that is, they're not developing as quickly. It says, all of our sons, this is the name of the journal, all of our sons, the developmental neurobiology, I can't even say these words, and endocrinology of boys at risk makes boys more vulnerable over a longer period of time to stressors in the social environment and toxins in the physical environment that negatively impact right brain development. I think that's why they're turning to, what do you call it, gender, you know, changing the gender. This vulnerability in turn makes boys more susceptible to ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and conduct disorders, as well as the epigenetic, I can't even say half these words, mechanisms that can account for the recent widespread increase of these disorders in U.S. culture. So, before I go forward, basically what they're saying is young boys are very vulnerable. You know, they don't want to take on higher paying jobs, and, you know, and even for the lower paying jobs, they don't even want to take those. So it's just hard for them to even get jobs, period. And SCORE argues that a major factor in rising dysfunction among boys and men in this country is the failure of the United States to provide longer periods of paid parental leave, with the result that many infants are placed in daycare when they are 6 weeks old. Starting daycare at 6 weeks, not 6 months, but at 6 weeks, Shore writes, is the exact time of the initiation of the postnatal testosterone surge for only in males, which means that they are not nurtured by their mother or their father. They are taken out of the home and put in another socio environment that's not conducive to them being taught, is what it seems like to me, from their parents. They're being taught by somebody else. Okay, Shore also notes that research has documented that the boys, more so than girls, raised in single mother families show twice the rate of behavioral problems than the boys in two-parent families, and argues that a misattuned, insecure mother can be a source of considerable relational stress, especially when the immature male toddler is expressing high levels of dysregulated aggression or fear. So when a child is 18 to 24 months old, fathers play a crucial role, like you're doing with your children. You're not letting your children out of your sight. So Shore writes, pointing to the male infant's attachment transactions with the father in the second year when he is critically involved in not only androgen-controlled rough and tumble play, but in facilitating the male and female toddler's aggression regulation. This same period of 18 to 14, 24 months involves the initiation of a critical period of growth in the left hemisphere, and so the paternal attachment system of the father-son interaction would presumably forge an androgenic imprint in the toddler's evolving left brain circuits, including the left dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, allowing for this regulation of the male toddler's testosterone-induced aggression. The terrible twos, basic thing. The men, when they're not in the child's life, they get aggressive and they act out. Is that what you're saying, Pastor Don?
Yes, 100%. And at the same time, when children are raised with two parents, they get the dichotomy of what it is to be with a mother and a father. But when they raised by a single parent, it's so hard for them to switch positions and put themselves in the other parent's shoes. You understand?
Right.
Because I was personally raised in several different houses. My childhood was rough. Gang bang all that. But I turned out good. I feel like I'm good. You know, I haven't sat down and talked to my doctors yet, but she might have a different story. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm doing great.
You said you haven't talked to who yet?
The psychiatrist yet. Now,
oh, Lordy.
That's what I said. But when I sit on that couch and she hear my story, she gonna be like, well, we don't need another session. Guaranteed. Oh, and I gotta go back on mute. My daughters, they don't care I'm on the radio. They just tripping. So I'm still with you. I'm texting people, telling everybody come in.
Okay, and we have caller 4397. Welcome, 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 welcome. And who do we have?
Hello. How you everybody doing?
Oh, good. And yourself?
I'm doing super good. Super good in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes, yes. I've seen the number before, but I don't remember who it is. How you doing, fine, sir?
That's my uncle. That's Mr. David Green, Buddhist priest, fresh from St. Louis.
Okay.
Good job,
okay,
sir.
Buddhist
thank you for calling
priest.
The show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And what we're talking about is the masculinity crisis. There is a bigger crisis in men growing up, basically, and having, as I had talked for about the last 3 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours, about the masculinity of men and the lack of men not having been raised in a two-parent home. It's just been an interesting read and trying to get people to call in and so I could talk to them so we can, you know, converse back and forth. And it's been interesting. So right now we're talking about the terrible twos for young men in the period of a toddler's aggression for the male and it being regulated. And the article is that I'm reading is by Mr. Shore, Dr. Shore, and I'm trying to get Alan Shore. He's a professor of psychiatry and biobehavioral sciences at UCLA School of Medicine. And as I had spoken earlier, it says what I had talked about, the terrible twos, what does this suggest? First, there are irreversible changes in the workplace, particularly the rise of jobs requiring social skills, even STEM jobs, that will continue to make it hard for men who lack those skills. So how do we get those men up to the skills of the STEM jobs? That may be hard, but we may just have to have people who understand and know those STEM skills maybe be mentors, become mentors. So,
well, I think it all starts with the point of origin, not to touch up, point of origin. See, I live in St.
Mm-hmm.
Louis, Missouri, and 9
okay.
out of 10 black men in St. Louis over the last 50 years does not have a daddy in the household. And when they have a mom
okay.
in the household, it's 10 times worse because the mom tells the child at 15, 16, you're the man of the house. He's not the man of the house. None of the bills in his name. He's not paying anything. So they come up to be mama's boy. So they go from the mama to the baby mama. What our household was, my dad left my mom when I was 2 years old. I'm the youngest of six. So I had three
okay.
jobs at 8 years old. I washed cars at a car wash. I stacked bricks. I helped people carry their bags. I collect soda bottles. I was paying the gas collector. I got my own place when I was 16. Being 21,
wow.
51, or 81 does not make you a man. When the bills are
mm-hmm.
in your name and you're paying them,
mm-hmm.
that's what happened. I was just talking to a professor 5 minutes ago before I called in you guys, and what it
uh-huh.
is that 9 out of 10 black men in America between the ages of 18 and 50 are living with their mama or their baby mama, and the woman's on Section
exactly.
8, low-income housing. He's the dope boy. He's using that house as a trap house to pay the utilities, and therefore this is why we're in the limb we have. I live in St. Louis just 4 days ago. 10, 16-year-olds
mm-hmm.
got shot at one place. They were in an Airbnb.
Wow.
And this
uh-huh.
is what it is. It's just that the moms over the last 40 years want to be the young man's friend instead of the mama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before
mm-hmm.
you could
mm-hmm.
beat their butt in school, you can whoop them. Now, child abuse, DFS, he's too old to get whooping. No, he's not, because when he go to prison, he's going to get a whooping every day. So it's
day.
The black mamas. They want to be their friend. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
They want to be the child's friend. I knew if I acted up in school, I was going to get 3 whoopings.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to get a whooping because I went home with a note.
Cool.
I was going to get a beating in school, and I was going to get a beating because mama had to take off work and miss a day's pay. So that was 3 beatings. And I haven't
yeah.
seen no black mamas in the last 20 years. When you go to Walmart or the grocery store and you clown or in school, you whoop their ass right there in the class. You take care of the discipline.
In the
but
Walmart.
See, the dad
mm-hmm.
have 5 baby mamas by 5 different women, ain't raising none of them. So it's like your grass. Every 2 weeks you cut your grass. So the black man has been growing up like weeds and think the world owes him something. I run an employment agency.
Mm-hmm.
I can hire 5,000 people a day. We pay for the hotels, meals,
wow.
lodging, and traveling. They sell Advantage to Wonder Cleaner. It's a door-to-door sales job. It's like the door-to-door magazine subscriptions. And the mom said, I don't want my son doing that because he gets tired of when my son go out of town. But, ma'am, your son isn't Barack Obama. He's not going to Stanford. He doesn't have a college degree. You got to cut that
right.
on biblical court. So what I would do if I was president of the United States, every black man that's staying with his mama or his baby mama that doesn't have a job, you put their asses out. Open the door, shut up, put them in the army. And this is why we have the situation we have, because the mamas
right.
and the aunties don't put them out. That's my favorite nephew. You got to put them out. 18, I went in the army. 18, you're a man. They
mm-hmm.
smoking weed. They carrying
mm-hmm.
guns. They shooting people. You know, that you see
mm-hmm.
the trials of rap, Wayne, Melly, all these rappers, Lil Wayne, 2 Chainz, Young Dolph. Young Dolph was having half of Memphis. And the haters, because they're not doing nothing with their life, and that's what it is. So it's not incarcerating is the answer. And back in the day in the 60s, if the woman was on food stamps and she had a man in the house
mm-hmm.
like Claudine, she couldn't get food stamps. She couldn't get no food
right,
stamps.
Right.
So they put the food stamps
right.
in the cart, and the women are still selling the food stamps to get weed to take care of the man, but they open up more
Hello.
Weed dispensaries than McDonald's.
Hello.
There's more weed dispensaries
Hello.
In the United States than McDonald's.
Hello.
So what I'm saying is this. I had my first place when I was 16 years old. I went to McLean
okay.
Gas. That's the gas company, Amherst UE, Liebman Properties. I've always had my own. I got multiple houses, multiple of my own. Don't owe a penny in back child support, drive license. It's only 2 black in America, men in America that don't owe back child support. That's me and Barack Obama.
It seems that way, huh?
And if anybody
Come
needs
on
a
now,
child,
keep
if
it
anybody's
real.
Got a nephew, if anybody's got a nephew or a niece or a son, I can hire
mm-hmm.
all the black men in the United States between 18 and 40. All they got to do is dial this number, 314-562-5600. 3162-4397. That's 314-562-4397. Our Cash App, PayPal, Apple Pay them immediately. They'll be on the payroll. We pay for their hotel, meals, and lodging for 10 years. 10 years. They live like Little Wayne for 10 years. But the only way you're going to make a black man under 40 worker job, you got to put a gun to his mama head.
Okay, so is that just in St. Louis, or is that anywhere in the world?
No, it's
or
all 50 states. All the United States. The entire United States. You can put that on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Every black man in the United States between the ages of 18 and 40 is not on probation, not on parole. They will be in a hotel for 10 years. We pay everything because the website is Advantage20X, and we pay everything. They can get with Pastor Don, and Pastor Don will relay it to me, and I can hire the whole neighborhood, every neighborhood in America. And they will be working. They'll get a job. They'll be in a hotel. We do haircuts, shirts, and ties. We pay for everything. But the worst thing you can tell a black man between 18 and 40 is J-O-B. Why would I get a job when I could just jack somebody a car? I could snatch a purse. I could steal a key. I could rob a liquor store. The last thing they want in Chicago is a job or St. Louis. Because mama got it.
Right,
man. They don't even know what the color of the electric bill is. And they 35. And the mama going, that's my baby. Somebody needs to slap their mama. When a boy is 30, 35 years old, that's not a baby. When they're 18, that's a young man. That's a man. He's voting. Because he's been smoking weed since 14. He's been having sex since 14. He's been carjacking still since 13. He's been smoking Newports. He's got Newports. His pants is around his ankle. He doesn't have a belt. And you saying, that's my baby, my son. No. It's you, mama. Job and court. If you're not in college, you need to be in the job corps or the army. Bottom line. Send them over there to Putin. They need to be working. I was in the army at 18.
You said Putin. Wow.
Yeah, my dad was Putin in the military 21 years. He was my dad was a drill sergeant. My oldest brother was born in Paris, France. He was in World War II. He's got two purple hearts. That's my dad. That's Pastor Don's grandfather. His name is Arthur Glenn Green. He was in the military, in the army. He fought Hitler. I was in the military, Fort Knox, Kentucky, 18 years old in the military. You know why no black man in the world wants to go to the military? Because you got to be up at 5:30. You can't get up at 5:30 when you don't go to bed at 6 in the morning. You've been smoking weed till 5 and 6 in the morning. Weed slows down your mind. It don't speed it up. So you're already illiterate. You didn't drop out of school. You didn't get a third-grade education. So your mind is not working. It ain't slow. It just stopped because you're smoking weed.
And so, okay, so, because there's a person that I know. He's been, been trying to get a job, and he's thinking about committing suicide. He's got a child between a one-year-old and a four-year-old. And his girl.
Who does he live with, ma'am? Who does he live with? Who does he live with?
He lives in the streets.
He lives in the street. There you go.
Yes.
See, everything starts with one thing only, where you lay your head. Now, he didn't do anything wrong, because I watched this on Jerry Spring. Jerry Spring been on TV for 34 years, and they fight over bugs. He lives in the street. If you cannot take care of yourself, how can you take care of a child? See, this woman got two childs by her. So she didn't, his life was already gone before he was born. Now, she didn't mess up her life because she's got two kids. What a lot of parents do, moms do, I know this lady drives for Bi-State, and she had a child. She got with the other dude. He did construction, got with him. But that's what moms do. They have a child by zero. So they had to get with somebody on the ball to take care of the zero child, but they didn't pregnant and get another child. So she's got two childs. So this guy wants a job like Pastor Don wants AIDS. He's not going to commit suicide. If he was going to commit suicide, he would have already done it 10 years ago, 5 years ago. See, when a person tell you, I'm going to kill themselves, they're not doing nothing. Anything that a person getting ready to do, it's already done. He's out in the middle. He gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning. He's on the major thoroughfare holding up a sign, begging for food, standing in front of a gas station, standing in front of a liquor store, standing in front of a grocery store. And the time you spend in front of that grocery store, that liquor store, or on this corner, you could have been pushing the buggies back to Walmart. You ain't got to fill applications. Just go to Walmart, start grabbing buggies and pushing them back in the store. Do that for an hour. You know what the manager going to say? Come fill the application. You start now. Go to McDonald's. Take the broom you got at home. Take a trash bag. Start sweeping up the lot. Sweep up the lot for an hour. They're going to see what you're doing and say, hey, we're going to hire.
You ain't got to do a computer online. I believe Missouri is called the show me state, show and tell.
Mm-hmm.
You don't tell
right,
nobody
right.
nothing, you show them. So if he calls mm-hmm. me, I got him. But see, I'm not gonna dress the man up. You got to have initiative. You got to have some work there. So Pastor Don is going to start a commercial. It's going to say, jobs, Mr. Green, you call this number, and your whole family and all your family reunion gets a job. I come out of Sodan
okay.
High School. We having a Sodan reunion. Anybody graduated from Sodan, like Chuck Berry came out of Sumner. My mama came out of Sumner. So any man breathing in the United States between 18 and 40, if they call this
mm-hmm.
number, in 5 minutes they got a job mm-hmm. before it get dark, they in the hotel, and they live like Drake. But what I'm going to start doing is whooping them with a belt, because that's the only way you're going to make a black man go to work. Now, all these sisters, they working with three kids,
mm-hmm.
three different baby daddies. They working three jobs, paying all the bills, taking care of the kids, taking the kids to daycare, taking the kids to daycare on the bus, and taking care of a zero. Supporting their weed and their child support and their habits. You know, I had it out with a dude dating my oldest daughter the other day, and my oldest daughter lost her mind. And I told him, I said, this is my daughter. She got two kids. He ain't the baby dad, neither one. He ain't the baby dad. I done seen more dudes coming back, come and go like cars in the drive-thru. But you only get one daddy and one mama. You
right.
get one of
That's
them.
Right.
You don't get two. This is the biological daddy. So like I said, for this young man, he's not committing suicide. What it is, the last 5 years, women have took care of him. It's like Tyrese in the movie Baby Boy with Tyrese. They
right,
went
right,
from
right,
the mama
right.
to the baby mama,
mm-hmm.
and the woman's taking care of
mm-hmm.
So what we need to do
exactly.
is we need to have Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Donald
that.
Trump, and anybody else running for president. Any black man in America is between 18 and 50 living with a woman, put them under the sewers. Get a job or put them under the sewers. They'll be working then. But see, as long
mm-hmm.
as the black woman is taking care of these men, this is why so many single black women, it's so many shortages of good men. It's so many, because it's like when you pick bananas. I taught this to my daughters. I got four grown daughters. I say, why come y'all
mm-hmm.
don't eat black bananas? And they say, Daddy, we don't eat black bananas because they rotten. I say, well, why y'all keep picking these black men? These men that are rotten ain't nothing. You say, I got to be rhetorical. I come through the back door. So you got a green banana, yellow banana, and a black banana. But the black woman is picking the black banana, the rotten banana.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got somebody that got $2 billion like Kanye West, Kim Kardashian slept with everybody in the world, 33 black men, then they get a white woman that's a piece of trash, like the ones that work at General Motors. Remember back in the day, if they worked at General Motors or UPS or FedEx or was a mailman,
mm-hmm.
they went and got the fattest,
mm-hmm.
whitest, nastiest woman in the world, and they thought they had Beyonce. All these basketball players and football players at the NBA draft today, with these black kids, and they finna sign these contracts for $30 and $50 million, and all of them got a
mm-hmm.
snowflake on their arm. And the only reason that snowflake mm-hmm. is there, because you're going to take care of that snowflake in the house. Michael Jordan, mama and daddy is rolling over in his grave. He had that woman, Michael Jordan, before he was Michael Jordan for 30 years, gave the boy three kids, and he done married that snowflake. He worked $2 billion, didn't even sign a prenup. She knew who he was. He's Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan's wife is whiter than snow.
Mm-hmm.
The only mm-hmm. nigga number she got in her phone is his.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry was poor as night. He just bought BET yesterday. See, you got to see the roots. So I'm not
mm-hmm.
mad at none of these black boys, because the
mm-hmm.
mamas should have beat their ass for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. When they came home from school, they start beating that ass. Then they wouldn't be shooting each other. Their pants wouldn't have been sagging. Their belts would have been up. They would have been going to college. We didn't got hit by bricks and boycotts, spit it on, the June 19th, all that to go to college. And you can't make a nigga go to Morehouse or Spelman or these colleges. That's my daughters in Atlanta. They got master's
That's
degrees and doctorate degrees and PhDs.
Uncle, I have to ask a question. Our topic tonight is about the masculinity crisis. What do you feel is the masculinity crisis in America today? What do you feel?
What did you say, sir?
What do you feel about the topic of the masculinity crisis? What do you think is plaguing America today? What is your take on it?
I think the bottom line, it goes to the
And my uncle is Dr. Henry Gibbons, the chancellor of Harrisville University. He started that college with just 7 coursemen correctly. He left it with 13. That's an HBC college in St. Louis called Harrisville University, where Jesse Jackson was running for president. The role models in the 60s was doctors, lawyers, policemen, firemen, engineers. The role models of today for these kids are all these rappers that's going to jail, shooting blackster, Pusha, Young, Wild, Melly, with their pants sagging. I have no tattoos. I'm the only black man in America, no tattoos. You got all the tattoos, piercings, dreads. You look like you're going to rob 10 banks, and that's their role models. That's the one they're looking up to. They think, if you went to college and got a degree, you had it going on. They figure if you did 10 years in the penitentiary or 20 years and 10 men had sex with you in your behind, you the man. That's what they looking up to. Obama ain't in office no more. Every young black man in America under 30 looks up to criminals and thugs. And that's the problem that we have. That's the problem we have. And that's it's worse and worse. When we grew up, didn't nobody take somebody's car, jack their car, Kia boys, and jacking people's cars, all that crime in Chicago. This fireman was a fireman for 30 years. He is retired. He told his wife, I'm going to go get some popcorn. He had a Chevy Track. He had a Chrysler Trackhawk. That Chrysler Trackhawk. I was managing Luke Hughes Dodd. He going to get some popcorn, and 4 16-year-olds shot and killed that man. Remember the fireman in Chicago? Yeah, the fireman in Chicago.
Yeah.
He went. They had them boys trial. All 4 of them got life in prison. Them boys were 16, 16, 16, 16. 16, 16, 16, 16. This man was a firefighter going and burning buildings like Chicago Fire. And them boys shot him and killed him. And he got it all on tape.
Took his life.
You can pull up on YouTube. And that's what I'm saying. So, like I say, it's all about role models. They don't have the Martin Luther King. They don't have the Malcolm X. They don't have the Minister Palestine. They don't have the Nelson Mandelas. They have the dope man. That's their role
model. The dope boy.
So, it's Stevie Wonder following Ray Charles, the D-boy. Yeah, the Stevie Wonder following Ray Charles, Dumb and Dumber. You know, they ain't say, let me go to Stanford like Barack Obama. Let me get me a degree. Because they spending, we had Donkey Kong pinball. That was it. That was 15 minutes. It cost me money. But they game on. They playing the PlayStation and PS4 and Xbox. And when you hit 18, you supposed to put all them toys in the drawer, open and shut it for life. You don't play Xbox and PlayStation, and you got a GED.
Come on, say it. Talk to us.
So that's what it is. And like I said, it would be different if it was isolated, if it was 10%. When I talk, it's the majority. Now, I would say 70% of the young black man between the ages 18 and 40. This is the TV show I grew up watching. It's called Lost in Space. Dangerous, right? They mind it. Lost in Space. Because the time to get on these kids is when they 5 years
Danger
old.
Will rise.
When they 5
Danger
years old.
Rise.
That's when you put it down. Because that's when you're you can't wait till they 16. You got to tell these young black boys, you don't wait. When they get a dog, they want a puppy the first 6 weeks. They don't want a 5-year-old pet bull because you can't teach them. They stubborn. So these mamas wait till they 16, 18 and say, okay, now it's time to race. That ship has sailed. At 14, that's it.
Right.
They had
us
granted. It's like the St. Louis Arch. It's like the Empire State. Once they hit 14 years old, that's it. They already smoking cigarettes. They already smoking weed. They already chasing girls. Their pants is already sagging. And you try to be their friend instead of their parent. And that's what's wrong with these black women in America. They want to be the friend. It's to be the parent. It ain't about them hating you, but if they don't respect you. Because once they get to prison, oh, they're going to learn then. Going to learn today.
You're going to learn today.
And when you're 14, their mama say, here, baby. No, when you do adult crime, you get an adult time. When you're 14 years old, they not sending you to juvenile. Murder somebody at 14, you going to prison.
Yep. Because who was that? See, this young man, he did a crime at, I think, 16, but they tried him at 18, and he got life.
Correct.
He got life.
Correct. I'm on Chicago Fire, 15 years old. And you know, they bad in the streets. They got it going on because they got that iron. They got that pistol. We got that fire on our hip.
Ain't nobody going to prison with no pistol. They going to put you in the cell with three bodybuilders. They going to pass them around like a Newport. And mama can't save you. Daddy can't save you. Can't nobody help you. And you going to be in PC.
Not at all.
It's it. You know, the boys who killed Pop Smoke, Pop Smoke was a good role model. That kid was 20 years old. He had the number one song in America. But he was showing them they could do something other than kill people and sell drugs.
Right.
That boy
right.
made a mistake. He put his jewelry and his money on the, and he posted on his Facebook page where he was living. He was renting out of Airbnb. They drove from Compton, California, way out there to Airbnb at 3 o'clock in the morning, kicked the door in, robbed him, killed him, and shot him, and killed him. He had the number one album in the country, Pop Smoke, 20 years old. But they don't understand. It ain't so much rapping. He was showing the kids you could do something else with your life, whether it be rapping,
right.
singing, dancing, great. It don't matter, playing golf, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tyler Perry, whatever, Walter P. Mosley. You can do something other than rob and kill. You know, he was open the door. Like Young Dolph was paying 300 people electric bill. He was putting money people on the books. He was giving back to the poor. Young Dolph was doing a lot of stuff. Ain't number two people was helping them. Nelly ain't did nothing for St. Louis. Nelly ain't gave us a biscuit. So Young Dolph was helping people in Memphis. And it was five of them to murder them, and they've been murdering the people that did it. But a lot of people, Young Dolph, people don't understand when people are rich like Mayweather and Young Dolph, you feed in other people, other families, other situations, the poor, lawyers, doctors, opportunities. You open the door for other people. And that's what they do. Black, you don't see them fucking with Justin Bieber. They ain't going to bump into Justin Bieber. But when a black man gets something, a gold chain or a hit record or anything, oh, let's get that nigga.
Watch it.
Yeah, you're right. But you got, you know, it's just, like I say, the bottom line, you're right. I would say that 7 out of 10 black men grew up without a daddy. The Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, they grew up without a daddy. And I would say that the black woman, because she has to work 2-3 jobs like Cooley High, remember, she said, go get my belt. You know I'm working 3 jobs. Remember Cooley High when he brought that girl in the house?
Yes.
The mama was working 3 jobs. She fell asleep in the truck. So this is what's going on 2023. So there ain't no daddies. First thing to do is say, you ain't my daddy. So therefore, they like a weed. And that's and then they got us on the news stealing these kids hanging out the window. It ain't the Chinese fault they can steal the kid. You ain't supposed to touch nothing that don't belong to you. It's in the Bible.
Right.
Thou shalt not steal.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't, you can't sue kids because people are stealing cars. Well, like I said, it's all on how you raise. I guarantee you the way Barack Obama's raised and all these other kids doing this dirt, you're going to see 2 different ways.
Right.
So it's the way, it ain't so much, even if you got a black man in the house, just having a man don't mean nothing if he a dope dealer. Or he a thug, or he a murderer, or a rapist. Or if he bad, you can have a man. It ain't a man. You got to have a good man. It can be black, white, green, whatever. But it has to be a role model. And that's what we don't have.
Exactly.
Tyler Perry, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, successful people are role models. But dope dealers are not role models. They must ain't never watched New Jack City.
Hey, that was a good one. That was a good one. But
you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Right. So when a person calls that number, I know they're going to get you, but what would they call you, Mr. Green? What
would
they say?
I have 10 employees working for me, and what we're going to do is we got to screen the person. And that's the hardest thing. I feel like Simon on American Idol. I've been doing this 35 years. And it's a shame. You have to interview 10 people to get one good person. And when you hire somebody, you have to start that out. Then they have to go through training. The thing about black men in America is that what they think, when they get hired for a job, they're doing the job a favor by going to work. When the job is doing you a favor by asking to hire you. And the only person that understood that name was John F. Kennedy. You don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do
for
the country.
You can do for your country.
What you can do for the country. That's John F. Kennedy. That's 1964. So when you hire a black person, like you might have somebody cut your grass and pay them $100 to cut your grass, they think they doing you a favor by cutting the grass. But when you go to Foot Locker,
mm-hmm.
you got to beg them to give you a pair of shoes. You know, you in Foot Locker, yes, ma'am, what would you like to see, the new Nikes? Let me call the Air Max, let me show them. They don't have no manners.
Mm-hmm.
They say, what you need, what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we got the script twisted. Yeah, I managed mm-hmm. the car dealership for 20 years. I managed Blue Fuse Dodge. That's the biggest dealership in St. Louis. I trained 200 salespeople. So I was the boss, ordered all the cars. So a customer, not an interruption, where it's sole purpose. So I tell this to young people, if you schedule from 2 to 10, you need to get there at 1:30. Don't get there at 1:59. So the young guy said, well, I'm going to get there at 1:59. I don't get started getting paid to 2. I said, that's an idiot. That's an
wow.
idiot. I worked at Bourne's Hospital when I was 18. That's the fifth largest hospital in the nation. My shift was 5:30 to 2. I got there at 4:45. I started working at 5. I clocked in at 5:30. So then they noticed that. And they paid my way through college and made me supervisor, and they paid for my college at Flow Valley. I didn't have to get a Pell Grant or student loan, none of that. They saw the work that was missing. I was working 2 full-time jobs. I worked at Barnes Hospital, that's BJC, they own 8 hospitals, it's 5,000 employees, and I worked at National from 3:30 to 11. I went to Flow Valley College, got my Missouri State Education degree. I went to college classes on Wednesdays. So I had a wife, 2 kids, working 2 full-time jobs and going to college. But I didn't have time for PlayStation, Xbox, or a gamer. I'm a grown man. Grown men don't play games. So they don't have initiative. When you watch people at McDonnell Douglas, because I got a friend, he was at McDonnell Douglas, he's a computer software engineer developer, and his shift was 9 to 5. And I used to get on him because he'd go to work at 8:50 and 8:59. I said, no, you can't do what the white folks do. You get there at 8:30. You leave out here at 8 because you want to be the first one there, the last one to leave. That's called work at the initiative. You don't come through at 8:59. Them white folks been there 20 years. They can do that. You can't do that.
Not yet.
You can't do what the white folks do.
Prove
when you black, you got to be twice as,
you
gotta be twice as good, twice as fast, and do twice as much to get treated halfway equal. So I was sales for the month, 30 months in a row, and they was wondering, how did I do it? Because on Sunday, my off day, I was prospecting. My work ethic was impeccable. Lou Fuse, Google Lou Fuse, you'll see it. Lou Fuse, they got 60 dealerships here in St. Louis. I was the top salesman and the best in the nation. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
It was called work ethic. You're going to get out what you put in. So you watch these people at McDonald's and these places and what, and that's the reason, that's the number one reason they die. Fast food and minimum wage and Walmart. Look at the work ethic. But if you look at Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan, all these, Denzel Washington and Training Day, you watch these successful people, that's why they were successful. They outworked everybody else. But the only thing these black men work at doing, they can roll a blunt with their arms sawed off. The only thing they do is roll weed. You can turn off all the lights and saw their arms off. They'll still roll a blunt. Ain't nobody hiring. Every job is hiring. Every job in the world after COVID-19. Every job is hiring. They looking for somebody because they got 5 people they want to get rid of, but they got to get replaced.
Mm-hmm.
They just wasn't hiring you. You don't ask, are you hiring? You give them 3 reasons why you should start. Lord have mercy.
And
they
young and
idiots.
Because, I was watching the Today Show, and there was 2 young men. They were twins, as a matter of fact. And they had they started their work ethic at, was it 9 years old, 8 years old? They had a vision at 8 years old of what they wanted to do. 8 years old. So you know what their mom and daddy instilled in them.
My niece's son was a problem child. I got him. My nephew, Austin, he runs Sweetie Pies, Ruth Chris Steakhouse. His son was 20 years old. He's a plumber, Grand Plumber Square Rankin. My other nephew was my niece's son was a problem, and so the way I did him, he was 15 years old. I took that boy to McDonald's. I told the manager at McDonald's, I said, if you hire him, I'll pay him his salary. I just want him on the clock. I don't care if he got to stand in the middle of the lot and pick up trash. Get him doing anything.
Mm.
You ain't even got to give him a check.
Right,
he'll work for 10 cents an hour. She hired him. He did a great job. In 2 weeks, he had $400 made. I took him to the mall. He got his pair of Jordans, and they was 15 years old. He was at McDonald's. Now, if this boy, 15 years old, working at McDonald's, getting $400, getting Jordan, then why would people be seeing people on the highway at the liquor store or the gas station, these grown men, 30 and 40 years old, begging you, and everybody trying? Right. So you, they spend that money on crack and fentanyl, drugs, whatever, but you hurting them one. It's in the Bible. You give them a fish, they eat for a day. You teach them how to fish, they eat for a lifetime.
Yeah, that's right.
You giving them $20 if the bank don't got, give them a job,
hey, man,
and another job. They need a job. Mm-hmm. If they got a job, then they ain't got time to be doing these other things that they doing. And that's what it is. So, and then where I live at, in the county, everybody hiring, but won't nobody come out here and work. And they starting out $15 an hour. Them Mexicans in Chicago making $15 an hour at McDonald's for the last 5 years. You go to McDonald's in Chicago, everybody that's Mexican, they making $600 a week. They can't even speak English, but they at McDonald's. You know, so like I say, the jobs are there. COVID's over with. We back to normal. Everything back open. Had the bell back swinging. We back. The airline tickets are more than what they was before COVID. Remember, early voice, all them planes was on the ground for 2 years and wasn't flying? Buy an airline ticket now. Watch how you be shocked how much a plane ticket is now.
Oh,
hotels,
I already know.
And went up everything. It's back
everything.
To normal. Am I lying? Uber, Lyft, it's back to normal. So, see,
everything.
The school let out these kids out. They should have been, man, let me tell you one thing. If I was 18, 17 years old now, I have two Lamborghinis because everybody's hiring now. Two Lambos. I had one Monday through Friday and one for the weekend. I'd be in the Culligan. I'm not lying. The knowledge I got now and what's going now, ooh-wee.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, Pastor Don is going to do my website. He know Advantage 20X. The man who started Advantage 20X, his name is Nathan T. Edwards, and he started this company in 1980. His net worth is $700 million. He's got 33 different cleaning products. His corporate headquarters in Haywood, Illinois. It's bigger than 10 cents. And if you Google Advantage 20X, you'll see it, but it's by Googling. He needs managers.
Mm-hmm.
The employees make between $500 to $2,000 a week. Our top guy is Kenny Brooks. And we got 20 million customers, 35 cleaning products, and it's sold all over the world. But like we do most of the sales is door-to-door. It's a 1-800 number. You want to renew your subscriptions. But when people hear door-to-door, they get scared because they figure sales, I don't sell nothing, I don't get nothing. I wouldn't work no other job because you dictate your own income. I got a nephew that sells MRI machines. You know what an MRI machine is?
Uh-huh.
He goes out to Phoenix, the hospital. He gets $15,000 for every MRI he sells. The machine's $200,000 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
He sold 10 of them last month.
Mm-hmm. That's the hospitals. I know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
that's the MRI machine.
No, because I want to. Mm-hmm. Magnetic. Is it magnetic resonance? Something imaging. Something like that.
But see, we want something for nothing. Domino's Pizza. We want something for nothing. Because the moms have told the sons, it's okay you made an effort. It's okay you're not working. It's okay you're not paying child support. It's okay you don't have a car. It's okay that. And we got beat at food stands, and but we eat at, we wasn't allowed to sit at the food stand for Martin Luther King. We couldn't go in the front door, you know, the boycott and all that stuff. So everything that
Right.
Lincoln gave blood, sweat, and tears for the 60 years, these black people now, they don't care. But I'm thinking, I'm a 60s baby, so I remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We couldn't go to the
right.
Fox. We couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Imitation
anyway.
Of Life? The movie Imitation of Life, the black woman won the Oscar. She couldn't even go. The movie's called Imitation of Life.
Mm-hmm. The same
Imitation
thing with Hattie,
life,
the one was it, Gone with the Wind. She won and she couldn't accept her.
Couldn't go. Ray Charles from St. Louis. I mean, Chuck Berry was from St. Louis. He had $3,000 in his pockets. He couldn't eat at the restaurants. He couldn't check in the hotels. So he took his food with him on the road. Ray Charles. You know you can't eat at the restaurants. He had $3,000 in his pocket, but he wouldn't spend a dime with them crackers. Nothing has changed from 1930 to 2023. Everything is still the same. Don't get it twisted. Mike Brown, proof of that, and what's going down.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing now. And young black people say, you ain't did nothing wrong, you got to wear it. You black. I was at the bank today. I went to the bank today at 4:45. And I think the inside was closed. Maybe the inside closed before I would drive
back. Right.
And it was a Korean Corps cop on the front of the bank, but wasn't no cars in front. So I said, I'm going to go drive through. I'll make deposits, pay some bills, this thing. You know that fool followed me to the back, ran my plate. And I'm talking to the lady, but I've been with the same bank 15 years. I got four bank accounts. So I said, I should sue them because this is racial profile. He didn't light up or nothing, but this is my
bill.
Bank.
Yeah.
It's called, I don't know if you heard the First Community Bank. First Community, that's all the Walmart. They do $5 billion a year in home loans in St. Louis. $5 billion with a B. I've been with this bank 15 years. I'm going to bank, and I was going to bank to put money in, not to take money out. But I'm black. Black people can't have money in the bank. I remember that one black man, he went to the bank and got $100,000 out, and they called the police on him, and he sued and got $4
million. See that?
He sued.
People don't know how to act.
Yeah, and this, this other lady, she got dead wrong. Got seven like I said, Pastor Don has got to realize that when you black in America, you got to be twice as good, twice as fast, or twice as many lawyers like Johnny Cochran, Benjamin Crump, Willie E. Gary. You got to have all the bases covered because don't nothing make the white man more happier than the jammers up.
Right,
and the person
that
saved this company, people don't like Barack Obama, but they the one did the three bailouts. Unemployment was 3% when Obama was in office. Like I said,
I want to play this.
It's summertime.
I want to play this clip. Yeah, I want to play this clip. It's from Judge Lynn Toler, a divorce court, and she talks about
like
the decline of manhood, and she just plays it online, so I'm gonna play this right so y'all can hear. I played at the beginning of the show, but I just want y'all to hear this. And so when the person calls this number, they are gonna ask for Mr. Green, and you're just gonna answer.
Well, I have several people gonna answer the phone, and when they dial this number, they'll get a phone interview. And we'll try to start them immediately, Cash App them, Apple Pay them, get them on the payroll. We're going to give them the website. The website is Advantage20X, and they can apply online as well and see the product. And the top salesman is Kenny Brooks. If you can write his name down, Kenny, K-E-N-N-Y, Brooks, I hired him. He's been on the Ellen DeGeneres Show about 10 times. And Kenny Brooks is our superstar. He's our Michael Jordan of the business. But once they Google Kenny Brooks, they'll see he's the greatest salesman in the world. I hired him, and they'll see exactly what we do. It's not a scam. It's not crooked. It's cleaning products.
Okay.
We're selling soap. Everybody else is selling dope.
All right. Hold on. Here we go.
I don't know when it happened. I don't know who caused it. All I know is that at some point in time, the definition of manhood shifted way to the left and down. It is no longer what it was when my father was young or alive. It is no longer what it was when my husband said, Lynn, will you marry me? Because how they define manhood is, have I gone out into the world and done my best to bring money into my house? Have I got stability and love? Have I built a home? Do I have a place where a woman can come and say, I feel safe?
where I have children that I can raise who will have food in their bellies, clothes on their backs. If they need something, I'm the brother to bring it to you. That's what they've defined as manhood. Now it seems that that is no longer the case. It has nothing to do with your ability to provide or what you become in your profession or what you can bring home or who you can bring up and raise up and care for and defend and love. It has all to do with how nasty you can be with how many different women, how many corners you can hang on, how many babies you can bring into the world. That, you don't have to be able to support them. You don't have to love them. You don't have to worry about where they go to school or how they're going to live. You don't have to deal with whatever they have to deal with in order to grow up and be somebody. You just were able to make them, and that's it. And that's how you define manhood. I don't know when that happened. I know you didn't do it personally, Mr. Ware. I understand that there is a culture out there somewhere that has taken the definition of manhood, chopped it all up, diced it in small pieces, and thrown it in the sewer somewhere. But that's where it is, and that's where you are.
I saw that episode 20 times. I saw that episode 20 times. I saw it 20 times. Yeah. My idol was Sidney Poitier. See, the thing about it is, like I said, any fool can make a baby. Only a man can raise, get a college degree. All my daughters have master's degrees and PhDs. Just making a baby don't make you no man.
It still doesn't. It still doesn't. But I wanted to play that.
That's real talk.
I'm going to play that because it's crazy. Like, you know, it is. It really, really is. It's past crazy. But, you know, I saw that and was like, let me play this, you know. She laid it on the line right there. You said you've seen that. So how many times? 20 times, if not more?
She's been with the same husband 30 years and he's thinking about her daddy. It ain't how much you make. It's the foundation you put down. That's why Sidney Poitier to serve with love. This is what's been going on for the last 50 years with the black woman. You got a choice between bum, crackhead, or lazy person. That's it. Because when you meet a person like Chris Tucker, say the first 6 months or 3 months, that's the representative. They ain't the real person. They have no drive, ambition, or motivation.
Not the representative.
We talked about that. We talked about that all the time. We talk about that all the time. All the time. You know, first you have the representative, and then you have the actual person. You know, you get to know them after 4, 5, 11, you know, a few years. And I don't know if I like that person at all.
Exactly.
Well, that's what they do
when they get a job. Like when I got hired at Lou Fuse, every time we hired a new salesman, I took them on my way and trained them and trained them and taught them. Train, teach, and motivate. And this is what happens. So, therefore, when a person gets a job and they get comfortable, or they get a woman and they get comfortable, or they get a seat, and they not babysitting daycare, and the kids and the black women, I'm not getting no child support. I'm not getting no this. I'm not getting that. And see, I'm old school. First you date. You get your career first. You get your piece of paper. You get your degree. You get your house. You get your 700 FICO score. Then you date 5 years. Then you get married. And the last thing, you have kids. But these babies having babies at 15, 16, these guys are not mature enough. They can't take care of themselves. So if you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of a child? And they think it's cool to have 3 women pregnant at one time. Idiots. And then they quit their job because they got child support. Taxes a third, child support a third. So they quit. So now the mom is stuck with all of this and daycare and all this. And she's crying out of both eyes with rent and triple. So she done made her load heavier. And then you got to deal with another dude to help with that one. So, you know, it's a cycle, and it's been going on for generations. This is not just 2023. And just what Judge Hathaway was saying, you know, making a baby don't make you a man. It was only one Barack Obama, and they got to pick someone. I'm pretty sure the young man on the phone got daughters. He handsome. He fine. He got dreads. He this. He play basketball. That don't mean nothing. Shaquille O'Neal, biological daddy didn't raise it. It was somebody else. But see, what happened, once you'd have made it, then they saying this, that, and third. But, you know, I feel sorry for these moms out here, for these young black women that's dealing with these idiots. Because that's what they is, idiots.
Right. That's true. That's sad, but it's true. It's sad, but it's, and you know, how, who are their role models right now? Look at Nick Cannon. How many kids does he have? 12, 15,
11,
22?
11.
Okay,
Bob Daddy
so,
got 12. But
I mean,
see, well, the role model ain't the people on TV. First of all, it's not the Nick Cannon in the way. The role models, and I learned this a long time, the role models are the ones that they see each and every day, 7 days a week. Those are the role models. So it's either going to look at the mailman or the dope dealer or the playboy in the club, and they think it's cool. But see, the things they have now is black people meet Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Reverb. When we had it, if you didn't have a good job, women wouldn't even tell you their name. You couldn't get their phone number. But these women now, they meet a man at 8 o'clock at the bar. They having sex with him at 8:30. He got a nice car. It's not low self-esteem, no self-esteem. And that's what Judge Hattie was saying. You know, there's no self-esteem. You know. And I don't care if they married, single, engaged, the woman not faithful, the man not faithful, there's no morals or scruples or stuff like that. You know, you got to, you can't be greedy. You can't want red bottoms and Navigators and Yukon Tahoes or XLs or SUVs. You got to be happy if you're in a bucket in the projects with a faithful man. But they selling themselves to whoever got the most of the bigger, better deal. Whoever got the most going on, that's the one they want. Greedy. It's called greedy. Like the one dude said, why would you want a Birkin bag and you don't own your house? You want a $100,000 purse and you're renting. Look, I got a Birkin bag. I'm Cardi B.
You got jokes. We got jokes for real.
And another thing someone says, you know, they said, well, why am I going to get her a Birkin bag or whatever, Tory Burch or Louis Vuitton or something, and she don't even have one. So why am I going to spend my money on her if she can't even get one herself? I was like, okay, that sounds kind of
well, now on that, they could open up a business with you putting for that Birkin bag, get you some stock from CDs, mutual fund, money market, because it's like when Tommy Hilfiger said, I didn't make my clothes for niggas or they want Fendi or Gucci. You know, you wearing a name brand, but you ain't seen the white person. You making them rich. You know, I support Jordan, but I'm not buying no $1,000 Jordan. You know, you got to put a limit to it. So they figure, see, old school, if they see a man in a Toyota Camry or Chevy Impala, he got money for the rent. But the new school, if he driving a Lambo or Bugatti or he got an SUV or a Cadillac Escalade, look what he driving. But he ain't dead up to his eyeball. His FICO score might be 200. You know, he's overextended. You know, just like I'm
not
like
only
this
that,
young lady.
Go ahead. Not only that, he's living in his Lambo. He's not living in no house.
Yeah. This woman drive for Bi-State like the bus system, and they got to have her house. But she didn't have lunch money. She said, I only got $12 on my cash out. Why are you driving a $100,000 Yukon Tahoe and you ain't got no money? Because you living above your means. She said, well, I have my two daughters and grown. I have my grandkids. It wasn't enough room. It's called minivan. You know, you're trying to stunt a $100,000 vehicle. You know, you trying to stunt a $100,000 vehicle where you got a $1,000 note, you got $500 insurance, you got gas. If you know you didn't have to pay for this, you had to get. So she went to go see The Wiz. What's that play called? The Wiz with Dorothy and all them.
Yeah.
And then they went to they went on a cruise. And they went and did this, that, and another. And then she said, I ain't got no money for tennis shoes. You go on a cruise when you Beyonce. You know what
Lord.
You do? You get in your car, you drive down to the land and wave at the Mississippi River boat. You can't live a champagne life on a beer budget with water pockets.
Hell, I like that. You gonna swagger jack that?
Mm-hmm. You can use it.
You gonna swagger jack that?
You know they live way beyond your means. You got a Michael Kors purse and your tank is on E. Like, look at my Michael Kors purse. I'd rather have a $50 purse with $500 in it than a $500 purse with $50 in it.
Or no dollars.
Thank you.
Ned penny in
Thank
it.
You.
Mm-mm. Well, why am I going to support somebody when I'm trying to do my own thing? I'm a designer,
correct.
So I got to do me first. I got to do me first. So I don't. Someone gave me some Yves Saint Laurent perfume. I thought it was wonderful. That was nice for my birthday. But it's like, okay, I'm going to leave it sparingly because it's a thought that counts. But it's like, whoa. That's all I can say is, whoa.
Now, if your bills are paid, your money is right, you took care of business, you can pamper yourself. But I don't do nothing to everything. I'm like Kanye West. I have to wait till I get my money right. You know, I got to have stuff on point because I'm Carl Sprint. I like nice things. I don't like the temperature to be 100 degrees. Say, we can't turn the earth up to high. We gotta leave it. We got to leave the Earl 7. You know, I like having all my stuff paid, my stuff together. Because you never know, my people get a hurry up they behind. But see, that's exactly what Judge Hatchett was telling them, because they want to play the Joneses and dozens. And then the man, 9 out of 10 black men quit their job because they don't want to pay child support. I'm tired of playing child support. But you made 4 baby moms with 4 different kids, 4 different black women.
Right.
And then the
that's
dummies,
on you.
I told my daughters, you put that dude on child support. As soon as they cut you a biblical cord, you put them on child support. Daddy, you don't understand. And now you got 4 kids by 4 different individuals, but he done had 7 more babies. So you would have been getting $500 a month. Now you're getting a nickel a year. Because of other women, they done did that record called Beat You to the Punch. It came in the Sissies by Motown. They beat you to the punch.
We have Reverend Ronnie Jones on the line with us as well. How are you doing, Reverend Ronnie Jones?
Hey, I'm blessed. Thanking God for another day.
Hello. You doing well?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, ma'am.
Good. We were talking about masculinity crisis, and boy, we had us a lesson today. We didn't have it before. So yeah, if y'all missed it, go back and listen to masculinity crisis, because I done read and read because I didn't have nobody on there. It's like, I don't know what's wrong with my people. Where they at tonight? But that's okay. I know y'all still love me, so stop there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, do you feel like there's a masculinity crisis in the world today or in the United States? Ron? Reverend Ron?
Say that again.
Do you believe that there is a masculinity crisis in the United States or in the world?
Do I believe that? I mean, yeah, to some certain extent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I was raised that if you, you know, you make your bed up, you got a lot in it.
That's right.
Yeah. And also,
that's right.
You know, it's that shit goes 2 ways, though. You know what I mean? 2 people made that child. If you're a mother and you make a child with somebody, and you run off with that baby, and you don't allow that man to be a father or see his child, then you just as bogus as that dude is. You use that child as a weapon. And that kid's not going to understand none of that when they grow up. All they're going to know is their daddy didn't want them.
That's what they felt. That's exactly what they felt. They weren't wanted. And a lot of times the mother would say, you know, your daddy was no good. He didn't want you. He didn't want to take care of you. He left you. And then when the dad tries to come back into their life, it's a lie that they've been told, and they have to rectify everything, you know. And so then they have to make up those years that they lost. I'd make up those years that they lost. So.
But if you just focus and you ain't careful your kid and you just take off, then you deserve whatever she throw at you, including the picture, the kitchen sink. Yes, that's the whole kitchen sink.
Right. Mm-mm-mm. Exactly. Huh. Exactly. She's and the bath water and the tub and everything else. Throw it all at you. Throw it all at you because you deserve it. You deserve that. You deserve that bath water in your face. But no, we had a good show. We had a good show. I just decided that more people were not aligned with me to discuss it. That's okay. Y'all can go back and listen to it on www.blogtalkradio.com/circuitradio. Masculinity crisis. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a lot. So anybody have any announcements? If so, go ahead.
I'd like for everybody to say a prayer for the people in Matador, Texas. They had a tornado touchdown there, and they're still picking out bodies.
Right, right.
So,
because they had one.
Left and right.
Right. Didn't they have one in Matador? Didn't they have one in a city close by to them the day before?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that on the news this morning. So yes, please say a prayer. And if you want to, if you can say a prayer right now before I go into my announcements. Anybody else have any announcements before he does a prayer for these people?
Let's pray.
Okay, you want to say it? Mm-hmm, go ahead.
No, you got it. Mr. Jones, do what you got to do, sir.
All right, Father God, we thank you for another day, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for being in the midst of us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you reach out your unchanging hand to those who want lost their life in this tornado today, as earlier today, Father God, out in Matador, Texas, that you console and comfort the families, Father God. We know that there's probably that the city was decimated, Lord, and that so many lost their homes and their way of life, Father God. We pray that you orchestrate their life and bless their finances, Father, for them to be able to have a humble beginning and a new start, Lord. And Father, we ask that you move through generations, Father God, and break these curses, yeah. Father God, of men not being there for their children, Father God, and wanting to leave, and women being deceitful with the children as well, Lord. We ask that you humble their hearts, Father God. Bless them to know that the children are always innocent, Father God, no matter what, Lord. We just thank you, Father, because we know that there's victory and there's love, Father God, that there's peace, Father God, in your arms. Father God, we ask, Father God, that you, Father God, extend your grace out on all of those that's sick and suffering, Father God, to shut in, Father God, those that's addicted to drugs and many other addictions, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you move in a mighty way in this nation, Lord, and that you give us a still peace, Father God, and bring us up, Father God, raise us up in our spirits, Father God, to want to have the strength, the masculinity, the understanding, and the wisdom, Lord, to want to walk with you and establish a relationship with you, Father God. We know that you're real and we're trusting in you each and every day, and we thank you for our breath of life that you give us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Great prayer.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So the announcement for this week, Reverend David Beam will be speaking to us out of Little Rock, Arkansas on 4th Sunday. Then Tuesday and Thursday we have Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It. We're still in June for the men's month, so unless you all have a topic you all like to discuss, you're more than welcome to send me a topic and I'll come up with something. And September the 22nd through the 24th is Dr. Monica Jackson is having a virtual summit for men. It's the M4 Summit, and it means Men, Message, Mission, and Movement. And what was I going to say? So if you want to be registered for that summit, you can contact her on drmonicajackson.com/M4Summit. It's for men, women. It's for children. You know, you hear all these stories about men, their mission, their movement, and their message. It's going to be good. It's 2 days long. And so if you want to attend the virtual summit, please contact her again. It's drmonicajackson.com/M4Summit and to register. And please support Reverend Ronnie Marshall by purchasing his music and his music ministry through all music medias. And his latest album or a latest song, I should say, Jesus Can Make You Whole. And then also, do you like visiting and talking about the topics on Let's Do It Radio that I create and that we have and that all my peoples come out and talk about? Well, to keep it going, we need you to donate to Let's Do It Radio to keep it on the air. You can do it to Cash App, $ANAISEVALCOUR, or to Venmo at MZ-INEZ, or to Zelle. And that'd be wonderful so we can stay on the air and that we can have more of these talks. Ms. Inez said, let's talk about it, as we talked about masculinity crisis. And so I want to thank each and every one of my worldwide listening audience for joining in and listening tonight. Yes, 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 yes. It was a good one. Thank you for those who joined after, who was able to join in and discuss the topic, masculinity crisis. And maybe you all might have a topic you'd like to discuss. Holla at a sister at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. Send me an email. And don't forget to share on all your social medias, as Pastor Don Jr., CEO, does. He'd be sending emails out and texts out while he were on the line. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Don. And you can also listen to previous episodes on demand by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio and listen to all those episodes out there. And send me an email. Let me know if you like them, if we change it up, so on and so forth. I'm not opposed to comments and suggestions, so please send me an email. And letsdoitradio@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us this evening on this Thursday, my daddy's 93rd birthday. He would have been 93 today, but he's in heaven. And so I want to wish him a happy heavenly birthday. And if you got it on your chest, get it off. Talk about it. Come on, just let's talk about what's bothering you so you can, won't have these things that are bothering you and make you want to commit suicide and all that kind of wonderful stuff, all those things. So please, 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 let's talk about it. We could be discussing your topic. And you know what? You know who I am. I'm Miss Inez, your hostess for the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Dalker Design. And you can follow me at Facebook and Instagram. And you can also go and follow Let's Do It Radio on Instagram. I have created an Instagram account for Let's Do It Radio. So go out there and follow it so you know what's going on throughout the week. And just go ahead and follow it. So you know what? This evening, the thought of the evening is, if you're not going to put your heart into it, don't put your hands on it. And you can swag attack that if you want to, Pastor Don. If you're not going to put your heart into it, don't put your hands on it. You like that? You're not going to, you know what I'm saying?
I love it.
You know, if you,
that was great.
You know?
Amen.
Okay. You like that, huh? Yes, 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 yes. So, again, thank each and every one of you for being with me, my ride and die, Rhonda, Pastor Don, Jr., CEO, Reverend Ronnie Jones, and the gentleman who, what did he say, Buddhist priest, he said?
Mr. That's Green. David Green.
Mr. Green.
David Green.
Said Nathan
yes, sir.
Green?
I mean, yes, ma'am.
David Green.
No, he's talking about Navy Pierre. Okay. That's who owns the company.
Oh, okay. Okay, you know who it is. As long
yes,
as you
ma'am.
Know, that's all that matters. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Hey, I heard
so
it.
So thank you, thank you, thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I heard it was a great show. I enjoyed it. It was very, very lit, vivid, and the whole nine. Great. So I'm going back on mute, but I am here.
And that's okay because got ready to lose my phone. So I'm going to play as our closing song, Aloe Black, The Man, because that's what we're talking about this June. We're talking about The Man. And so as we close out, we had a prayer by Ronnie Jones. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Send all this stuff out to social media so more people can get in tune and get educated, and you know, we can have that dialogue. We could talk. And so thank you again. And Aloe Black is going to sing The Man.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold.
This is my world.
Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes I am, yes I am, yes I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I got all the answers to your questions. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier. On my feet, no surrender, and I won't retreat. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. Time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Just landed the plane. Good night.